Screw it. This is a perfect pour.
Welcome to the Perfect Pour Craft Beer Show. We're here to talk about beer. We're going to give you beer to look out for. We're going to drink a lot of beer. We're going to talk about beer we were drinking before and all those other things. I'm Mikey.
I'm the Nick.
I'm Matt.
And we have special guests this week. We'll wait for that. Tony Bags.
Tony Bags.
Returning. Every
listeners.
No, not returning.
Not returning. First time, bro.
Oh. Well, returning to Fresno.
People, yes, coming home.
Our hardcore listeners know Tony Bags, Golden God Tony Bags, on the show.
Yeah.
We were driving here the whole time. Yay. He's like, where do I go? And it's like, you should know the directions by now.
No.
He's been on here like twice.
Ricky. No. You're thinking of Dave Ventaria.
No. Oh. Are they doppelgangers?
It is weird that I haven't seen Dave Ventaria. I'm usually seeing him once every time I come to Fresno. It's because I'm usually with Matt, but. Thank you guys for having me. Thank you for coming on.
California craft beer legend.
That's a stretch.
Been to every. Is there a place you haven't been? An important place you haven't been?
Yes. I have never been to Sierra Nevada.
Oh, that's Pismo surprising.
No, I've. Choices, bro. Never been to Pismo Brewing on Choices.
Okay. That's your choice.
And, they're from Fresno.
Well, and there you go. That is the voice. Yeah. Of owner and head brewer of Libertine Brew.
I'm not head brewer.
What?
No.
What's the title? What's the official title?
This guy that hangs out there.
head hangout guy.
I'm the founder and co-owner, and I think my business card says head of brewing operations.
All right. Brew op.
Brooding.
I'm the president on the on the corporation paperwork. That sounds fancy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Spencer, actually, rad dude, our head brewer. He's been with us a while. He's doing a really great job. I don't want to take any awesomeness off of him. He's doing an awesome job.
Spencer. Cheers to Spencer.
Spencer Waldron.
Three cheers to Spencer. Spencer
he's
Waldron.
He's fun.
He's a handsome dude.
Well, Tyler, thank you, man. We've been talking about the Libertine for a few years.
Oh,
and a few years ago,
I'm glad I got to give you a lot of fodder.
How long have you...
What is this crap again?
How long have you been part of the Libertine? How long you've been...
Oh, I'm the founder of Libertine.
Oh, so there wasn't somebody before. You didn't take it over from somebody.
Nope. It was me.
that's awesome. Welcome. Because I have to stop on this because we're all like, you know, Fresno Central Coast is our Riviera.
Yeah, the backyard.
Yeah. And
we live where you vacation.
Oh, we know.
And,
you know, we know.
It's our Hamptons.
The brothers here are big Central Coasters. You know, I go on occasion, but Morro Bay is like one of our little spots, like Fresno's little spots. And I remember when I think you guys might have discovered the Libertine first.
I actually went back through my photos just to prove I was there.
Yeah.
2012 was the earliest photo I could find.
Look at that. 2012. Sorry about that.
Was that when you guys started?
I guess that would have been 2012. Yeah.
Okay.
It were a little over 4 years ago. So our 4 year anniversary was back in May.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember. It was what is it, Memorial Day? Is that the thing right before summer starts?
That sounds right.
Labor Day, May 20th usually. Is. I think it's Memorial Day. I'm not good on holidays. I'm not a big holiday guy. But whatever that big holiday is that kind of like kicks off summer, it was the weekend before that we kind of like just soft opening. It was just we've had a lot of reincarnations over the years. That's why it's kind of hard to be like – we had our first, like, we opened the doors, we had 20 taps, and we were starting to do test brews a little over 4 years ago, back in May of the week before Memorial Day. So
nice.
Our anniversary party is never on the actual day we open, just because there's always a lot of stuff happening. We just kind of, like, randomly do it when we remember. I think a third year we didn't even have one, just because we were so busy. We're just like, oh, crap, we had an anniversary party. Oh, wait, that was last month. Can we cuss on this thing? Is that a
yeah.
thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Shit, but fuck.
Please
okay.
do.
I
you can't? Fuck.
I'll it's a...
Yeah. Whew, fuck, okay, that's going to be hard.
That's I have a bad potty mouth, and so like it throws my train of thought off if I can't say bad words. So it's kind of like, yeah, I was almost like, wait, what? Oh, shit, I lost my train of thought. And so, yeah, fuck shit.
Just don't
balls.
Say right. don't say clam jam.
Yeah.
Clam jam.
Is that the Pismo clam jam?
Yeah. Tony's new favorite pastime.
Yeah.
Damn right.
He wishes.
I think our story's kind of similar to yours. There was years before we would, because it's a yearly tradition, we would go to the coast. And there's been times where it's like, we'll drink in Pismo. We'll do the Old Town Saloon. We'll do this and that.
Ooh, Legends.
Legends.
How about that, Legends?
Rest but in peace?
I think it was the same.
Are they gone?
Yeah, it's gone.
It's gone.
Whoa.
Legends
Whoa,
is gone.
Bro.
Whoa.
But I think yeah. it was legend just one year, our parents, like as per usual, dragged us for antiquing in Morro to hit the four stores. And we were just walking
antiquing.
By and we saw that little sign, it's a little 20 beers on tap. And we're like, wait, what? What's yeah. this about? And yeah. walk in,
this,
you know, there was the haze.
The old front bar.
This, yeah. lad, this lad is changing a vinyl record.
Yeah.
yeah. You guys yep. play vinyl records here?
Always.
It was definitely so... since we opened and still to this day, people always tell me I'm an idiot, and I am an idiot.
I tell
them
that daily.
So it's okay. I'm not mad about it. But especially when we started, we opened up in Morro Bay. It was this little 400-square-foot thing. We had 20 beers, and we were, like, using the kitchen in the restaurant behind us and just kind of, like, trying to, like, figure things out. And I wanted to brew weird sour beers, and it was this weird thing. People were like, oh. You're opening in Morro Bay, a craft beer bar, and you're going to brew your own sour beers, and you're only going to play vinyl records, and and you're going to try to find people to play original music when you're not playing records. This is classic. Yeah.
This kid.
Good
look at
luck.
This kid.
Good luck, little Good Chimbaba. Luck, yeah, yeah. Funny times. And, you know, a little over 4 years later, we're still here. So, and we have, you know,
did you guys locations did you guys start brewing stuff right out the gate?
Yeah, so that was another thing that's funny. Like, if you go back and look at, fuck, what the hell, Beer Advocate, that horrific website. That sorry, I have a that yeah. Yelp just make me angry. But if you look back, there's a guy that came in like the first 6 months we're open. So there's a misconception,
you still
evidently,
remember
with
this guy.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's still there. It still haunts my memory of. Evidently, barrel-aged sour beers, you just make them and you just put them out after 3 weeks. Evidently, that's a thing. So this guy came after 6 months, and he's like, yeah, I was told this place was, like, super rad and went in. The beers were really cool, and it was fun atmosphere. But, like, they said they're a brewery, and they didn't have any of their beers on tap. And they said they were sour, but, like, there's nothing on and blah, blah, blah. And it's this whole, like, tirade for a paragraph. It's like, we've been open for 6 months. You can't make a barrel aged sour beer in 6 months.
What?
That's not a thing. So we were stockpiling beer and just like doing it.
You can't get a sour
the
extra
right
kit.
Way. Right. Like, and so there's they a lot of, and I don't want to yeah. say names or whatever, but there's a lot of breweries that come out and they go, oh, here's our new sour beer. And it's just like, you've only been open for 2 months. How the hell did you
where
do
did
a,
this come
like,
from?
Like, okay, cool. Kettle sour. No, no, no. This is a Brett fermented barrel aged blend that we did. And you're like, ah, yeah, that's impossible.
you lie.
But not to go on a tirade on that, but
more tirades yeah. better.
The new Mr. Mr. Beer Kit's gonna have a souring yeah. program.
We didn't release our first beer for over a year from when we opened, just because we were when I first started, I was literally making 10 gallons at a time and like slow, like literally homebrewing into barrels, like 60 gallon barrels, and like filling them up. And after about a month, I was like, this isn't working. This is stupid. And approached a barrel house after about, I want to say they opened a few months after we opened. And I kind of walked into a situation where they were, it was a Type 75, which I don't know if you guys are familiar with a Type 75, but it's a
Sounds
brewing license.
Industry.
We know, but explain for
Yeah,
Tony.
Explain okay. for other people.
So a Type 75.
I don't know anything.
Yeah. Bagarino. A Type 75 license was made by Wolfgang Puck like 20 years ago to somehow get a liquor license for his restaurants that he couldn't go. So like in small towns like San Luis Obispo and certain things, they only open a certain – it's not like San Francisco where there's millions of them or whatever. You can't just have a liquor license. They might have – okay, we only want to have 15 people pouring hard alcohol in our city. Mm-hmm. Well,
so there's only 15 licenses up for grabs.
Right, and if 15 bars have it, no one's going to sell it unless they want to do it. Okay, I'll give you $200,000 to buy your license or something. Yeah. It's like
insane. Yeah.
So a way around that was Wolfgang Puck was like, oh, wait, screw this. I own a franchise. I'm a billionaire. I'm going to do this, and lobbied and got this thing called Type 75. So it's a license where if you brew on site, if you have a brewery, a microbrewery on site, you can have liquor. But there's all these stipulations to it. So it's not a normal 23 license like 90% of craft breweries in California have, where you can self-distribute, you can sell growlers, you can sell bottles, you can do all these – all these things. Pretty much all you can do with the 75 is sell drafts on site. You can't sell growlers. The only way you can distribute is to go through a distributor.
But you can have Jameson.
But you can have Jameson. And it costs, instead of buying a liquor license off somebody in a town or whatever, so you could be in a town that's like, we only wanted 15 liquor licenses in town. So you go, okay, cool. Guess what? I'm getting a 75. I'm going to brew beer. Now I got a liquor license, and the city can't do anything because it was regulated as a beer license, which is pretty much like free for all, which is great. And not a lot of people abused it, and it was this cool thing for like 15 years. And then all of a sudden, people started going kind of like, "Wait a minute, I'm an entrepreneur, and I have a restaurant that I want to get liquor in, and I don't have $200,000, but I've got $10,000, which the license costs, and I can like piece together." So this guy on the East Coast – now we're getting on tight right here.
Wow.
This guy on the East Coast figured out, which, hey, you know, I'm an entrepreneur myself. Like, you know, whatever. We're all trying to make money. Figure out a way that he got 2 5-barrel Bright tanks, and he made this business plan that he would, like, brew this, like, liquid malt extract. And it was, like, these, like, 3 5-gallon buckets of just pure, like – dissolved like it looked like syrup or something like mm-hmm. you pour on your pancakes with like hot pellets that looked like giant like pine cones because they're so swollen up and shitty from sitting in their bucket for a year or whatever until he sold it. And he'd sell this shit to you. So he'd sell you like, all right, here's $20,000 for 2 5-barrel Brights, which most people in the industry know 2 5-barrel Brights is like $5,000. Like it's nothing. You can get 2 5-barrel Bright tanks for garbage.
Yeah,
like people are
just
giving
walking
more.
Down the street. Like
literally. I mean, I know it sounds like stupid, but like you go on Pro Brewer, you can get 2 5-barrel Bright tanks for nothing.
Man, I'm good.
You know,
come on, man.
Seriously, like it's nothing. So he charge you like $20,000 or $30,000, and then you'd pay like $5,000 for the licensing, and then you had a liquor license. And so all you had to do was brew a minimum amount of beer, which is like 100 barrels a year, which is nothing. And you'd pour these like buckets of syrup into these 2 5-barrel Brights. They had an instruction thing. It was like a laminated thing where it's like, pour water to fill up to this line in the Bright tank, and then add 1 ounce. It's a 1 ounce. What's crazy is people are still doing this. Like, I walked into this, and I'm like, whoa, no, this is not a real thing. Like, this is, hell, time out, you know. This is still, I've been to breweries before where I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I know those Bright tanks. You're ordering for this guy. What? No? And, you know, they're over there pouring, you know, Jameson and Cokes and whatever. Hey, each their own. But in my mind, it's cheaper than the brand of craft beer. But we can get on tangent on that. But,
tangent.
Yeah, they give you a 1 ounce packet of dry yeast. It says, all it says on it is Australian yeast. And you pour it into this thing with these 3 buckets of, like, syrup into a whole bunch of water. And then it's like, yeah, award-winning lagers and stouts and blah, blah, blah. So when I came into a restaurant that had that, and I met a guy, and he's like, hey, I want you to brew me beer. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. But, I could do this.
Sure, I need to, like, I'm like a brewer, and I'm not going to, like, whoa, what's going on here? I'm like, whoa. And he's like, yeah, all our beer tastes like shit. And I'm like, yeah, because, okay. And started just, like, sitting there while I'm, like, dumping the buckets in. Like, here's why it tastes like shit. See this little 1 ounce packet? That's insane. These buckets. And, like, so he goes, you seem to know what you're kind of talking about. And I'm like,
this guy knows what he's doing.
Done this for a long time. Like, this is garbage, but let me get your money for making your beer, quote unquote, for you. He's like, you should open a brewery. I'm like, that's what I've always, it's everybody's dream, right? And I kind of fell into that. And then I was like, well, I'm not doing this unless I'm partners in this with you. Like, that's my thing. Like, I'm tired of working for people. I've been doing it. I'm 32. Since I was 18, I worked in the beer industry. I was stocking shelves before I could even drink beer. That's all I've ever done.
Had my job.
And yeah, I had Bags Route before. I told him too. I go, don't do it, man. Don't do it. He didn't listen to me. Yeah. And then, long story short, now
the Libertine, Morro so. Bay, and there's an expansion too. But first, we have to.
That was mention. A long tirade.
Yeah. We have to mention that there is a beer here.
I love gold.
What do we have here?
What the hell was that?
I don't know, dude. I don't know.
You'll get used to it. Don't worry.
So this is called Coffee Teen.
Coffee Teen.
Little play on Libertine Coffee Teen. So we've drink done a few coffee, incarnations on this. How technical is this show? I've never listened to the show before.
We're not necessarily brewers, although one guy is called the bearded brewer.
You don't have to start naming gravities and stuff like
no,
that.
No, I just we had like a bunch of versions of this.
What should we be tasting in this?
We like grain okay. bills.
Yeah.
We love grain bills.
And hops.
So it's just our golden ale that we steep with really good coffee. So that's kind of what I was asking, like, how technically. So we had a bunch of, like, really good versions of this when we first, like, kind of started out when actually. Oh, I just want to add to my whole tirade thing.
Yes.
We started working with Barrel House about a year into it.
Firestone? Or
no, Barrel House.
Barrel House.
Up in Paso.
Yes.
And they had just
awesome.
Started.
We had
and,
one of those beers in the tailgate.
They were super nice enough to let us just pay for time on their system, which they're so busy and rad and huge now that they probably wouldn't even – Jason probably wouldn't even answer my calls.
Oh, anymore, they
but,
would.
Totally. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I would just get to pay, and that's what I was doing, like the 10-gallon batches. I used to get to pay and rent 6 hours of time on his Barrel House to be able to brew and then put them onto totes that I would then use his trailer and tow them behind my car back to the place and then rack in a barrel. So I just want to do a big shout-out. He probably doesn't listen to the show. Maybe
no,
he,
I they they.
Someone
have,
over there does.
Somebody over there does listen. We don't, we're not exactly sure who.
So I'm a huge Barrel House fan. I love what they're doing, and I have a big sweet spot in my heart for
I helping
love
their,
us out. For
I
the,
love their tasting.
The whole,
their
for brewery. Like a year straight, they let us brew until we got our system going.
If you're going to go to Firestone Walker, must go
you
to
have
Barrel
to
House.
Go to Barrel House. Barrel House. So, I just want to throw that in there because I feel like I don't get to tell that story a lot and not a lot of people, but they helped us out big time, let us use their system and brew some beers to get in a barrel and really got us started. And thanks, Barrel House.
Thanks, Barrel House.
Thanks, Jason. And Matt.
Jason Matt. And Matt.
Not me.
not this Matt. Not but thank you, Matt, too.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome.
I try. This is I'm liking this.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, we're drinking
coffee team.
So we made this a couple times and it was really, really good. And then like a month into it, it like went garbage and it turned into this like bell peppery, gross disgustingness. And so I stopped making it and I was like super bummed and I'm like, God, I guess I just don't know how to make coffee beers, like whatever. And I met this husband-wife from Scout Coffee in SLO, which is becoming a huge name in the coffee world. I didn't even realize at the time how big of a thing they were. They're just kind of like this place across the way. And I'm more of a coffee guy that just like, yeah, my Keurig and I buy my Costco coffee and just wake up in the morning. But it's kind of lame because I'm so big on flavors and small business and all this stuff. And I'm fucking blowing it with my coffee intake, you know, right. And like
like some coffee geek that just like, oh, I drink Budweiser, well, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. Like,
what are you
doing? I like
Folgers
fucking,
instant
yeah.
coffee. Anybody?
I pour over for 4 hours on this Ethiopian monkey piss, and then like, it's like I don't care. It's fucking whatever. Blue Moon's a
Folgers,
good beer.
Bro.
Yeah. Do you copy Luwak, bro?
You're like, what? So yeah, I'm the same way with coffee, and these guys really kind of like. When we moved into SLO and we started doing things and I randomly went by and just like got a coffee, just like, I can't believe I'm paying $3 for a fucking coffee. This is goddamn ridiculous. And whatever, and like drank a couple of hours, I'm like, fucking It's kind of like when the first time, I mean, for me with craft beer, like the first time you have a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale and you're a Miller Lite guy, which was me because I worked for Miller Houses my whole life. And I was like, I don't know if I like this, but I want more of it.
I will not stop drinking it.
Exactly. That was me with them. And I'm like,
there's your gateway beer.
Yeah, it was my gateway coffee. You know, it was, and well, Sierra Nevada was definitely my, actually, Stone IPA was really the one. But we can get into that later. But
well, yeah, that's what. Well, that you hit on exactly what we do to new guests is we like to find out what your gateway beer was and what you're drinking before that.
Yeah, I was a Miller Lite guy, and that's all I drank. Like I said, since I was 18 years old, the only job I've ever had other than owning my own business now and having a brewery was working for a beer distributor, and it was always a Miller or a Miller Coors distributor. So when I was, you know, I just picked Miller Lite, and I was like, this is a good beer, and fucking why not? This is great. And I worked up in for a distributor in Santa Cruz when I moved up. My wife and I moved up to Santa Cruz, and how is it called? Elixir, yeah. And they had Sierra Nevada. I remember drinking Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. I remember, like, it wasn't one of those things like, oh, my life changed. You know, it's just kind of like, oh, whatever, this is kind of cool. Like, but it's kind of gnarly, but whatever. Just keep drinking Miller Lite. And I moved on to San Diego because, like, San Diego was like, I'm a surfer and skater, and it was fucking rad. I could surf in board shorts. You could, at the time, drink beer on the beach and legally, and now you can't anymore and stuff, but my buddy lived in PB, and we flew down. It was raining and horrible in Santa Cruz, and we moved down to San Diego, and it was like, wow, this is like sunny and gorgeous, and you could drink beer on the beach and awesome. Time. So I was sitting there a couple months into it, and I got a job for a distributor down there as a draft technician and hanging out, and it was a Miller House once again. And my buddy was like, oh, what kind of beers do you like? And I'm like, oh, I don't know, I like Miller Lite, and just, I don't even know why I said it. Like, but it's weird because, like, you know that moment, like the first drink? It wasn't the first drink of Sierra Nevada. It was this exact moment when I remember being like a craft beer fan. It was my buddy Matt. I mean, I don't even know anymore. He's probably dead or something.
But it was like, I assume he's dead.
Yeah, I assume he's dead.
By his lifestyle.
A lot of Matts tonight. Yeah. But my buddy Matt, he was my buddy's roommate. He's like, we're good. I'm like, Miller Lite. And then I just like randomly was like, and like, I like Sierra Nevada too, because I don't know why. I just like, I'd had it cool, like, in Santa Cruz. I was like, yeah, that seems like a cool thing. He's like, oh, so you like IPAs, which Sierra Nevada, because in my mind, Sierra Nevada just meant Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. Right. I didn't know they made other fucking beers. You know? Like, that's how ignorant I was. Either, like, yeah, Sierra Nevada, that one beer that yeah, place
that's all
makes.
They do, right?
Yeah. And he's like, oh, you like IPAs? And I'm like, yeah. Love IPAs, trying to be all cool, you know. I remember that. I don't remember shit. Like, I'm an idiot. I don't remember anything. I remember getting married. I'm like, I don't know. Did I marry you? Like, fucking, you're awesome. But, like, I that was awesome, I guess. And it's a good choice, but I don't remember any of it. But yeah, I don't. I literally remember telling him and like trying to be all cool about it. Like, yeah. And then that night we went to a place called The Dog, which is not even a business anymore in downtown PB. Is it still there?
It's when I
was
there,
just there like 2 weeks ago, and I didn't see it.
Okay, yeah. When I moved out of San Diego 3 years ago, it was still a thing.
I didn't see. I mean, I didn't like look
behind
for
Trader
it.
Trader Joe's.
Yeah, but I lived right there. I was on 6th and Grand when I lived down there. But, anyways, it was the closest bar to my house. It was amazing. So they had dollar beer nights, and we walked in, and it said it just had this big
Fox.
Tap handle that night.
Fuck yeah, Silver Fox.
Oh, Silver Fox.
Silver Fox is dope.
Holy bueno, man. That's a that's a whole other story.
Silver Fox is a classic.
I know nothing about
sorry,
this.
I'm tangenting.
Yeah. But yeah, I remember walking in and looking at the tap list, and it was just said like IPA all big, and like it was a Stone IPA, but it said Stone also, and I just saw IPA, and I'm like, yeah, that guy saw earlier said I like IPAs. I had no fucking idea what
I
IPAs
must really
were.
Like these.
And I was like, y'all take like that IPA, please. And everything was a dollar except for Stone IPA was like $3, which I was like a poor like 22-year-old kid, like, fucking shit, $3?
Yeah.
Supposed to be goddamn dollar beer night.
That's an hour's wage, good sir.
$3? Yeah.
The fuck is this shit? I remember like, Jack Johnson just fucking trying to drink this thing down. But after my first one, like pint of it, I remember going like, fucking, that was intense.
Fuck yeah, $3.
That was
intense. I'll try one more of those just to make sure that was that intense. Yeah. You know? And then ever since then, it's been a downhill slope. So, wow. You know, it took me a few years. Not like I just stopped drinking Miller Lights after that. Yeah, but yeah.
Magically.
Well, what do you think about this? Well, actually, let's open a new beer before I ask you that.
Let me finish about Honeyco really quick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just so we can. Sorry. We're going to be here all goddamn night. Coffee teen. So I met this rad couple. They have Scout Coffee. Their coffee was amazing. I started talking to them about fucking coffee, and I'm like, dude, I used to make this amazing fucking like rad sour golden ale, and I had dry hopped it with coffee, and it was really good for like a month, and then it sucked. And they're like, oh, it's because you're using shitty coffee. And I was like, oh, there's a such thing as shitty coffee?
That, what?
Okay, let's talk about this.
Whose idea was this?
And then I found out that they were like as passionate as I am about, and us about, you know, all of us about beer, as they are about coffee. And so we really started talking. So my whole thing is like stay in your lane. Like, oh. Whoa,
yeah.
Oh, well.
Little Brett in that one?
Guess I did. Oh, yeah.
This is what heat does to Brett in Fresno, by the way.
Brett in Fresno.
The
don't
cork
mix.
Just that shot about awesome. Across the room without even touching it.
I might have ceiling damage. I'll
buy it.
Good thing you're done.
Just spill it back to Libertine.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no fluorescence.
Top
in here.
But they do an amazing, amazing job with knowing flavor profiles and what a coffee is going to do. So we do one off. So this is the coffee team we had is the first batch is Ethiopian coffee. We pair that, and then we've done Colombian coffee. And we just get one-off small batches we can actually tie back to the actual farm where that coffee was found at and got. And then they roast it. So Honey Roasters, which is the label on the back, is their roasting company. So
nice.
Shout out to Honey shout Roasters out. And Scout Coffee and Slow. They're the man, the myth, the legend. Great couple.
Now I know,
super
now
fun
I know
people.
Where to get coffee.
Yeah.
It's across from the old Slow Brew, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it's on a side street.
Yeah. Right next okay. to the cheese shop there.
Wait, did that
how do they compare to the Kreuzbergs?
Yes, Slow Brew is not there anymore. It's across the way next to Frog and Peach.
They're moving on the main street.
Where the old CCS was? Remember the old CCS skateboards?
It looks not bigger. As big bands as they used to. Their capacity's really shrunk.
Oh, it's smaller?
Yes.
It looks, well, the storefront looks bigger than it used to.
But the concert hall is now a lot smaller, which sucks for Slow Brew, but is great for the community because now Fremont Theater is getting so next week, maybe the week after.
What the hell
like,
are you talking about?
John Lennon, Sean Lennon.
John Lennon died
John
like
Sean,
years ago.
Sean
hologram.
Lennon
it's a hologram.
And Les Claypool are playing at the Fremont.
Oh
wow!
Unwritten Law and the Ataris are playing at this shithole dive bar in Los Osos called Sweet Springs.
Wait, who is?
Unwritten Law and the Ataris.
Never heard of them.
Anyways,
2000s post punk.
Sober. I went and saw Del the Funky Homo Sapien the other night at Tap It. So it's cool because they're branching out and getting more venues into the shows instead of just Slow Brew. So we're getting cooler shows and more shows because they're branching out.
Because Slow Brew now has a smaller space?
Yes.
Okay.
So
what's their beer plan? Are they still doing beer? Did they ever do beer? Or was
they've
it all contract?
They got a production brewery out in by the airport now, which is pretty gnarly. Like a brand new canning line, the whole thing.
No brewing on site. It's all done.
So Good Medicine, who is partners with Eddie Numskull, who Fresno people know, Numskull Productions puts on most of the shows here. They're opening a facility down Hegera out by the cemetery in SLO. And the destination is on the right. hi, Cole.
Oh, hello, sir.
Additional guests.
Sorry, tangent.
Sorry, I just...
Tangent? Guest showing up as a tangent now?
That's a good winery, actually.
So, Good Medicine is opening a space at the old Honda building, and Central Coast Brewing is going into the same building. So they're kind of taking over the Slow Brew feel with the big concert hall, which is going to house the big shows. and it's all going to be Central Coast Brewing beers, which are one of the two best breweries on the coast, in my opinion, Libertine and Central Coast Brewing. I respect Firestone.
For throwing me in there,
buddy.
Wow. I respect Firestone. I love Firestone, but I do not consider them a local brewery. They're a national brewery. They're
even though you're staggering distance from them?
Yeah. Oh, I can fall down and hit their brewery. But it's the same. I don't consider Stone a San Diego brewery. I consider them a national brewery. They have done such a good job with what their profession is that they are a national thing. Mm-hmm. They're in all 50 states. They're in Berlin and insert other European country here. They're not a local mom and pop brewery anymore. Sorry, Sweden. They're not. So when people say Sweden. Drink local, it's like, no, you're drinking national.
Boom.
Boom.
Well, knowledge. In San Diego, you're still drinking local.
I could go both ways on that.
I'd like to hear what SD Beer Talk and 3B Zine would say about that one. Hear that, guys? Next show. Yep.
Listen up.
Deal. Greg.
What is it we're drinking now? The one that broke the studio ceiling, almost brought the house down.
What, so yeah, this is interesting dueling labels going on here.
This is Rye Saison. So formerly known as Rye Saison, this is one of the last bottles of it. Rebranded it. It's the same beer. So this is like a brewery favorite. This is like our... If you ask any brewer there, pretty much they're like, what's your favorite beer? They're like, Rye Saison. Yeah, everybody loves Rye Saison.
Industry beer.
It's the industry beer, but like no one, not that no one gave a shit about it. It didn't sell, but it wasn't like, what, like we're like, yeah, guys, this is our beer. Like this is the one they're kind of like, yeah, right. You guys smell like 12 Saisons. Who gives a shit?
Can I get some more summer breeze?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Let me have the one that you only make 12 bottles of. That's the one I care about. Like, but this Rye Saison is super fantastic. And this is the one that's like won awards and done the thing. And still nobody's like, bleh. So it's a Rye Saison, which is, it's got a kind of a red tint to it. So my beautiful daughter, Aubrey, who turns 5 next month, August 23rd.
Don't mess this up, Dad.
I know, right?
don't go down that road.
Yeah, right, I'm drunk.
I know nothing.
But Aubrey's right.
Yeah. Aubrey's beer. So her name is Aubrey. Best. So it's now called Aubrey Rye Saison. She's a redhead. This is red. She's spicy. This is spicy. It's funky. She's funky. And she's awesome. And this is an awesome beer.
Oh, that's
so it's now called Aubrey. So when you see this in the stores, Aubrey is our Rye Saison. Same thing.
Okay.
And ever since we put the labels on it, it's fucking flying off the shelf. Nice. It's like it's the same goddamn beer, you guys.
Label buys.
I know a brewery that did something like that.
Yeah.
What brewery? Name them, Tony Bags.
Nope. Everyone knows what it is.
There will be no secrets.
Everyone knows what it is.
No, we don't.
So where can you get, before I forget, where can one get Libertine?
It's Rochelle Holler.
Yeah, by the way, it is the 23rd. I just double-checked.
You guys, I looked on her Facebook page.
Yeah, I looked on my four-year-old's Facebook. No, I was like, wait, why are you guys making me rethink my daughter's birthday right now? I'm tripping out. Aubrey's birthday is August 23rd, and she's red.
But the Bearded Brewer just took us to Moreau Echelle. Uh-huh. It was the first time I've been to Moreau Echelle. And they have Libertine bottles.
We took a selfie there.
We did.
Nice.
I told them, they're all, where should we get beer on the way? Well, if we need to pick up a six-pack, we've got to go to Moreau Echelle. It's on the way. And, well, ironically, it's the one place that sells Libertine in town.
It's growing.
It's getting rammy.
Oh, that right.
Which it's, also, by the way, if anybody, happening? I'm about to go buy the bottles. Exile on Broad Street is a dollar cheaper than just our house Saison, which like blew my mind because we can never make that beer again. It's like a one-off weird thing that we made. Like,
and it's at Moreau
Echelle.
Yeah, cheaper.
For a dollar,
it's
cheaper.
Like, dollar cheaper than our Saison. Which our Saison is amazing, but. We can make that all the time. We can never make Exile on Broad Street again.
Get to Brochure right now. What's happening with that rye bottle? Describe what's happening, Tyler.
It's breathing.
It's a little
It's
active.
A science project
There's
gone
bubbles
wrong.
Bubbles coming out of it, and it's right? already been poured a lot.
this is a failed volcano.
So this is what's called a live beer. So I get emails about this all the time.
Oh, good. So you can just direct them to this show.
Yeah,
this episode. Say here, here. This is the explanation.
Dear Libertines. Here's me. I poured some beer, and now there's foam gradually coming out of the bottle. Please help.
I could see him going on tirades for years about like things, but one of the things that drives me banana pancakes is.
Worst kind, by the way.
So many Jack Johnson terrible, right?
I hate banana pancakes. That's why it drives me fucking banana pancakes. People are like, it's either like, it doesn't have enough carbonation or it has too much carbonation. And it's like, what do you want?
We want Stay Puft to stay in the bottle is what we want.
Yeah. So this is a naturally carbonated beer that has wild organisms in it. It's corked and capped. It's left on its side for 3 to 4 months before we even release it to the public, before being in barrels for 6+ months. We're shooting for a high carbonation level, especially in the bottle, and that's what it's supposed to be. So, you know what? If the cork shoots out or it slowly... everybody runs out there. Everybody goes like, oh, and not just our beers. I've seen other things like, oh, it's infected. It's like, well, yeah, there's about 400 different microorganisms and bread strains in this beer. It's fucking infected. Like, that's what's...
This is Google's new self-opening beer.
Like, if you open a Coors Light or a Stone IPA or anything like that, and it starts foaming out and shooting a cap off,
there's a
not a good thing. Yeah. When you open a Libertine or anything that's a live bottle conditioned carbonated thing, and they call it gushers, or this isn't gushing by any means, but a gusher, that's another thing that, like, one of my pet peeves. People like post on things, and not our beer. I haven't seen pretty much any of our beers be gushers, but the people post a picture of something, and I won't say brewery's name, but you know, and it's like, oh, it's a gusher. And I let it sit on my counter for 30 minutes and, like, half the beer poured out. Fucking pour the beer in your goddamn glass and drink it.
That's supposed to be in your mouth.
Yeah, why would you sit there for 30 minutes and watch a beer slowly pour out of a bottle and then get all, like, fucking lame? I wasted half a bottle. It sat there for 30 minutes and it poured on the counter.
You wasted 30 minutes of your life, too,
bro. Then fucking pour it in the glass. Like, I don't understand. Like,
immediately pour it. I'm just going to let it sit here and do
yeah,
stuff.
I'm going to make a video and put it on YouTube and post it on fucking Beer Advocate.
I'm going to boomerang this.
Am I the only one on that? I feel like I'm just going on tirades over here.
No, I mean,
anybody? Does that make sense?
We like it. We like
if something
tirades.
Starts foaming out of a bottle, if you just pour it in your glass... Yeah. Like, yeah, like I said, if you buy Stone IPA and your bottle starts foaming up, what the fuck is going on?
What,
if you buy a Libertine or a fucking, I don't know, Cantillon, what's a fucking bottle? I'm trying to think of a
Cascade.
Cascade beer or anything, and it starts, you know, gushing out, then fucking pour it in a glass. It doesn't mean what's it taste like? Does it taste good? Rad. Awesome. They nailed it. Like, I can't control certain things. I can control everything I can. Once it's packaged, how you stored it. How cold is it? How did you pull the cork out? How did you do anything? Like, if you pull the cork out and you slam it on the counter and it starts foaming out, what, I mean, there's so many factors. And you know what? Even if it does that, pour it in a couple glasses. You're there to drink it anyways. Don't stare at it for 20 minutes and watch the beer pour out on the counter. Drink the beer we made. Does it taste weird and gross? Boom. Okay, there you go. Or did you just... The worst is like, tasted great, but wasted half the beer. Never buying this again. Why did you waste half the beer by watching it pour down the drain? You're just dumb. I'm sorry.
You, sir, are dumb.
Go back to macro beer. I want to ask you, because I got a feeling you might not hold back.
Shocking.
Bud just AB InBev just basically bought out Miller Coors.
SAB Miller.
SAB Miller, not Miller Coors, not Miller Molson.
All right, SAB Miller.
Shut up, Bags. You're such an industry dickwad. Jesus Christ.
So,
don't worry.
No, parse it out, Pat.
Nobody from Miller Coors is listening to this podcast right now and going to hold you against it when you go in for your industry meetings next week.
Oh, I don't give a fuck about that. It's the industry meeting.
I heard Bags talk shit about us on a podcast.
So what had happened was Bags was on this podcast and No,
indie bro.
But what it basically comes down to is Miller or InBev bought Sab Miller,
yeah.
Which Sab Miller is South African brewing Miller.
All right.
So because we live in the good old United States,
damn straight we do,
we cannot have monopolies.
Yep.
So AB InBev owns Miller Coors, Miller Molson, Miller everything outside of the United States, from okay. my understanding of the law.
Okay.
Uh-oh. I could be wrong.
Tyler, and Tony Baggs are looking at each other. Like, which
am I wrong? And I believe Miller Molson is staying in the United States.
Can I talk now?
No, yes. Yeah, no. I'm looking at you. Like okay. I could be wrong. Yeah.
Great. You're a fucking idiot. Here's what's gonna happen right now. Two things. One, I just read an article that the State Department actually approved everything. And yeah, there's going to be certain things they can't do in that, but it's still a thing. The only thing they said that couldn't do was do incentives for like Budweiser does, like big incentives.
And
like,
there was like a restriction on distribution.
Right, distribution incentives and different things. And they can't buy out more distributors, but they can still buy out as many little breweries as they want. Mm-hmm. Two things. This whole like, oh, it's a monopoly, blah, blah, blah. They can't do it. Like, let's just say that all goes through, blah, blah, blah. Great. The United States is like 10% of the beer market. Nobody gives a shit about the United States. Agreed. Like, it's great. Cool, that's great. I mean, people give a shit, obviously. There's billions of dollars. But we're talking the world goddamn economy here. So, yeah, okay. Budweiser owns Miller Coors in 90% of the market. So you're telling me right now that when they come to the United States, they're like, all right, here's our global plan. Here's what we're going to do. We're all going to work together. We're going to slay dragons. We're going to fucking come in here and kick ass. We're going to shut down every craft brewery in the world. Oh, shit, here comes America. Hold on, time out. Don't even know you now, bro.
Have you not seen Team America World Police? America, fuck yeah.
Yeah, here's what's going to happen.
It's in the song.
So
I seen it.
You go to a party, your cousin's over there. Like, yeah, I'm not supposed to hang out with my cousin. I got this thing going on. That's still your fucking cousin, bro. Shit's not cool. Like, whatever. It's going to happen. It's already happened. What are we going to do about it? I'm more worried about the homogenization of all these people being bought up and then thinking they're craft breweries. And then the only podcast I actually listened to of you guys, sorry, on my way here, there was a thing about, I don't know who said it, and I can't pick out voices from an hour-long podcast right. somewhere here. But
2.5 hours.
Yeah.
I would like to say it was actually longer than the session that last week. We had a minute longer show than the session.
Sunday
session. Like Brewing Network?
Yes. Is this where we're at now? This is what we're coming to?
We beat the session. Go on, Tyler. Sorry.
Somebody here, I don't know if he's here right now. Whoever was here, somebody on the microphone was like, yeah, but who cares if they're making better beer? Right?
That was Fontana Jim.
Cool. Great. Yeah. Fontana Jim. Awesome. Multiple things on that, and I was like,
"Who cares if they're making more? If they're making, his point was, if they're creating more beer for us to enjoy, what's the problem in that?"
Right, which is awesome, and also, you know what, communism's awesome too if it works. You know what I mean? Like, I was driving here and almost like lost my brain and drove off the freeway. It was also because my air conditioner broke and it was 113 degrees. I was having heat stroke, but.
Costa boy in the valley.
There's elephants multiple things, on the
and I was
Kelman
like
Hills.
Yelling at my radio, and then I was like, wait a minute, I'm going to see these motherfuckers tonight. I'm going to. So, I don't know. Long story short, there's so many things wrong with that. One, that never happens. It never, ever happens. A corporation buys something to profit. Nobody buys something to just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job. You just look at Ballast Point. Just this week, they laid off three of their longest-term employees, their VP.
They laid off or they quit? Or they stepped out willingly?
You're fucking telling me that somebody's been there for 20 years with fucking Ballast Point that built a beer.
I'm asking a question. I wasn't... Did they,
okay. All three of the highest...
the press release came out said that they stepped down.
Right. Okay.
So I'm asking.
Okay. No. You're right. You're right, Bags. I apologize. the three highest ranking people at Ballast Point, other than someone that's a majority stake owner in Ballast Point, left over from when they got bought out, all three stepped down on the same week, citing just, you know what, I just want to go and do my own thing.
Well,
that makes fucking sense. No, they're cutting the fat.
One or not? So I'm playing devil's advocate. I'm quite asking questions.
Yeah, keep, I know you're the industry guy. Look, I love Ballast Point. I used to fucking, when I lived in San Diego and I worked for a beer distributor, Miller Coors House in San Diego, when I was a draft technician, nobody even, they wouldn't even, they were such a small little operation that they would let me, they would make me, as a draft technician, drive their Cornelius kegs. Remember those Cornelius kegs, the fucking little homebrew kegs? The little, you know? Mm-hmm. That's what Ballast Point used to use because they had a homebrew shop. I'm a Ballast Point fan. I used to drive back because nobody would do it. They'd be like, yeah, we have like fucking 20 of their kegs sitting here. Who cares about this stupid fucking brewery, right? And I'd be like, well, I'll fucking go drive their kegs back and drive their kegs back. And they're super rad. They give me a growler fill or a bottle. This is fucking 10 years, 15 years ago. I'm a fucking Ballast Point fan. I used to rep their brands. They were still pouring in the fucking homebrew kegs. Like, I've seen them grow and do the whole thing. Super proud of what they've done, everything. But to say that that was a good move, whatever. Yeah, it's a good move for them as a company, and everybody made fucking cash. But just this week, you're really trying to tell me, you're trying to justify that the three highest ranking people left just out of nowhere because
stating what was brought to the public.
Is this a brought to the public show, or is this a real, is this a, like,
real man?
That's why I said I'm asking a question.
Okay, it's bullshit, and it bums me out. Devil's advocate. And you know what? Those three people will probably go and start their own breweries and kick ass because they're way smarter than me and fucking kill the game and know everything. And that's awesome. I'm super stoked for them. But you know, bringing corporate money into this thing, no stock market guy, no anybody goes and hey. You guys are doing great. Just do your thing. It's great. And 6 months into it, then all of a sudden it's like, well, we could probably do out with this and that. And then 6 months into more this and that. And the beer thing too. That's what's frustrating. Like someone who would – fuck, I wish I knew who was there. But you're talking about Red Hook and shit. Like it was the same thing. Red Hook's beer started to take a turn. And it's not that it was shittier. And
Paul and Fairfax.
That's what drives me nuts is like people always say like, oh, Miller Lite's a shitty beer. Miller Lite is an amazing beer. Is it a beer that I want to drink? Fuck no. It tastes like water garbage. But that beer is one of the best made beers in the entire fucking world. Like, I dare you, Joe Sequoia,
or fucking anybody,
to make that fucking beer.
It's the hardest style of beer.
I challenge you right now. You can't... No brewery fucking, I mean, Mitch Steele maybe from Stone can fucking pull that off. Maybe Brennelson from Firestone if they really wanted to, which why would they want to? But even then, I don't know. Like, we're talking
Fig Mountain
fucking,
Light, bro.
Huh?
Fig Mountain Light.
I don't want to talk about that. it is to make that beer and to make it as good as they do across the country and across the world and taste the exact fucking same and do what they do. They have the best technology. They hire the best brewers. They have everything. Like, and that's what drives you. Like, fuck Budweiser. Yeah, fuck Budweiser because they're fucking assholes and they try to crush the competition and they're bad people. Don't fuck Budweiser with their brewing prowess because they're the best brewers in the world. Mm-hmm. Anheuser-Busch is the best brewery in the world as far as making the same exact beer exactly right every single time. And I challenge anybody to fucking come at me with that. That being said... Fuck Anheuser-Busch. I will never drink that beer. I hate that beer. Everything they do makes me angry. They every day of their life is trying to put my business out of business. And I hate them. And I'll do everything in my power to fucking counteract that and help anybody in my crew and my clause, which means Joga Sequoia, Cellar Maker, fucking Society, anybody to fucking get back at these fucking people. That being said, don't say it's a shitty beer because you just sound stupid when you say it's a shitty beer. It's not a shitty beer. It's the best made beer in the world. It's if you're talking scientifically, technically talking, that is the best, cleanest fucking beer you can make. That's my soapbox for the fourth time.
So let me ask you a question.
I have heat stroke. Okay?
Let me ask you a question.
this will be the excuse. Yeah, I had heat stroke.
So Yes. All of us around the table can pretty much confirm that 2015 was the year of the buyout.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So now we go to 2016, and we see Chuck Silva leave Green Flash. We see Steve Drexler leave Sierra Nevada. We see Mitch Steele leave Stone.
What the fuck was that? I just saw that the
other
day. Blew my mind.
Are the OGs, the Godfathers, seeing this?
Are they all getting together?
Well, I cannot confirm or deny, but I wouldn't be surprised to see two of those OGs getting together real soon.
Damn.
But are they seeing this as a trend and they want to more or less fight the system?
Spit it out, Bags. Spit it out.
More or less fight the system and do their own thing. In your opinion, as being in the, and Matt, you too, in the industry.
Well, see,
Mikey, we can't answer.
Multiple things in a very short response is
respond.
I
now.
Feel the same way about Big Beer as Tyler. They do the same thing, same way, same, across the country. I've always given it credit for that.
But like you said last week, and I'm the same way. I will drink a motherfucking Coors Original like it's going out of style because it's awesome.
When
I hate it when the listeners listen better than we remember.
I said what?
Love Coors Original.
The past few times I've actually had a Coors beer is because of Cole sitting behind me. He's the Coors like or Coors.
See, I'm Coors OG.
But at the same time, I'm not so upset about Ballast Point and people leaving. I'm still. Just because I feel like people that are happy, like Chuck Silva, Mitch Steele, and the Sierra Nevada dude, which I can't remember his name.
Steve Drexler.
I feel like those...
I told him congratulations on his startup at CBC. And he almost punched me in the face. It was hilarious.
So, sorry. I'm numb to the Ballast Point thing because it seems like those guys have the dream job in the craft beer place that has made the test of time and all these things. And so it's just like, well, somebody that's happy at a craft brewer can leave just as well as somebody that got bought out by another brewery can leave. So I'm still wanting to see what they did. If they got canned, that sucks. If they are leaving
these
to go do
so
something.
I'm
sorry, this smells like Morro Bay right here.
Yeah,
this is the essence of the streets of Morro Bay.
So just to clarify so with the Ballast Point thing, people? This wasn't a bunch of like rad head brewers that left.
Yeah,
this is the VP of sales,
yeah. CFO,
the CFO, mm-hmm. the head etch, which is the first thing that gets axed when a fucking big company comes in. Because why does Grupo Modelo need a CFO of one of their subsidiaries? They don't. They already got a fucking CFO, and they can easily have somebody pay a tenth of what that guy's getting paid, and they're going to do that. And that's what big breweries do. They start trimming the fat. Okay, you just like a .com. It's the same exact thing as a .com. You look at Silicon Valley, and this guy has this great idea, and they build this fucking brand. And then they're like, they got a whole front office, right, of people, and then they get bought out by Google. Google's already got a fucking front office. They don't need somebody to answer a goddamn phone. They've already got people to answer a phone. And that's what happens with the brewery thing, too. So everything, oh, it's great. It's fucking great for the owners. Like, shit, you know what? 20 years from now, if somebody's going to give me $1 billion, like, fuck. I mean, I'd hate to do it, but it's fucking $1 billion. Like, you know, I don't know. I don't know what I would do at that point. Like, who knows? And I don't hate Ballast Point for it. And I love, like, our local Ballast Point rep is a rad dude.
Peter's the fucking man. Shout out to Peter, by the way.
He's a great guy.
Peter's the man.
And everybody I've ever met at Ballast Point are rad people. I don't hate Ballast Point. And that's what sucks, too, the Lagunitas thing. Like, everybody I've ever met, like, the two best companies, I think, in the beer game are New Belgium and Lagunitas. And it drives me nuts that fucking Lagunitas got bought out, because I got pissed as fuck when that happened. And yeah, I own a brewery, but we also have a brew pub and we have other people's beer. And for the first like 2 weeks, I'm like, fuck it. Nope. No more Lagunitas.
Pull it.
And I thought about it and I'm like, that's not hurting Heineken. That's hurting fucking Rudy. That's hurting Big Dinner Kenner.
Big,
you know,
Dinner,
I mean?
Kenner.
That's hurting fucking, you know,
Miriam. Shout out to Miriam.
You know, that's hurting my friends that work for these companies. Mm-hmm. That's not hurting the fucking big guys. And that's what sucked. And so
no, it's Kim.
Yeah. She comes into the pub every once in a while. Rad chick. Great brewer. awesome. That's one thing.
And
once
Nick
again,
owns their head brewer. And you're shout like, out to Nick, because I love him.
And you're like, shit, like, cool chick. She loves our beer. I've brought a couple kegs in, but I always kind of knew just like being a surfer and kind of knowing those people and knowing what's going on. I'm like, this is a fake brand. You just know, being an industry craft beer guy and then also kind of seeing that too. I'm just like, these are guys just trying to get a money grab, whatever. And, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but you know what? I was kind of proven right on this one. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are proven right. And it kind of burned a lot of people too, because it's kind of like, this is what we're talking about that we don't want in this world. Like, they're not – I want somebody that's a home brewer that was banging it out and then got a job cleaning kegs – and then worked his way up, and he was a brewmaster somewhere for 10 years, and then he decided to do his own thing, and now he's making rad fucking beer. That's the beer I want to drink. Okay. I don't want to fucking drink a beer from somebody that's just like, oh yeah, I got these guys that have some money, and we're going to put it together, and like, who's cool right now? All right, this person's a good brewer. Fucking bring him in. Boom, done. Hey, check it out. I got this great graphic artist. They're really fucking cool. Every kid's going to want to wear a fucking hat. It's going to be rad. Fuck the beer part. It's cool. Whatever. We'll figure that out. Oh, yeah. Guess what? Miller wants to buy us. Rad. Bam, 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 bam.
But to play devil's advocate.
Gosh, here. I wonder what San Diego brewer then.
But here to play devil's advocate. To play devil's advocate.
Here we go.
Saint Archer. No. I don't fuck that. Saint Archer.
Do you sell Saint Archer?
I do.
Yeah.
But
every
when
fucking
Saint
time
Archer
I bring
opened,
anything up, he has
Saint Archer open. Okay. Saint Archer open. And they had a brewer.
Yeah.
And their beers were very subpar.
Okay.
Not gonna mention this brewer's name.
Okay.
Said brewer was asked to leave Saint Archer. From hearsay, yeah. From what I was told.
He's fired. They brought in the rad chick. She's
nope,
awesome.
Nope. Kim Jordan was there. Or not Kim Jordan. I'm sorry. That's New Belgium. Kim was there.
Jesus Christ.
At the same time.
Who brought this fucking
shut
guy
up.
On the show?
So, said brewer left St. Archer. Nick Marone comes into St. Archer and has done a phenomenal job. Said brewer that left St. Archer, and opened his own brewery
who's
in San Diego.
Who's the goddamn girl? Who's the girl I keep talking about? Who's the girl from St. Archer?
I want to say her name is Kim something.
She's fucking awesome.
She is. She's awesome. She's the nicest lady. One of the nicest ladies in beer I've ever met. Other than Rad Stacy.
Shout out to the rad girl from St. Archer.
But,
yeah,
so,
there you go.
So
you
the
know,
brewer
you know
from St. Archer. Ruby
Zine's yelling at his radio right now.
Brewer from St. Archer left St. Archer. Wasn't making good beer at St. Archer. Is now opened his own brewery and is the number one fucking brewery in San Diego, that San Diego Beer Talk, that 3BZ, and they all fucking love him.
Cool,
so was
cool
it
story.
Was it St. Archer? Was
cool
it
story,
the
bro.
Brewing equipment? Was it what was it that
Kim Lutz?
Kim, yeah.
Thank you.
So
Kim Lutz,
and
you're rad.
You guys listen to San Diego Beer Talk?
Yep,
that was Tyler. I said
how
that.
Much do they talk about fall brewing?
Oh yeah, all the fall is brought up a lot in both shows.
He was the original brewer of St. Archer.
Whoa!
Boom. Wow!
Mindfuck.
Yeah, that's like the Dude. Indie. That's the indie brewer.
I thought you were going with Abnormal, but
indie
no. Derek's
company.
The man. Derek's good at fucking everything. Period. I've never.
I wouldn't say. I wouldn't say Fall's the hottest brewery in San Diego. I like Fall a lot.
But is that what everyone? Day. That's the talk of the town when I go to San Diego. Where do I need to go? I need to go to Fall.
Yeah but see that begs.
And Fall and I went to Fall with Brian from San Diego Beer Talk.
Ah.
They make great beers.
Tell you, you've hung out with Brian off air. Damn it.
And they made bags, really man. Good beer. When he was at St. Archer, it was subpar to my standards and mm-hmm. to most people's standards.
Yeah, mine too.
So you to say that St. Archer was making this great beer that MillerCoors bought them is not correct. It was the new people that came in that took over St. Archer that were not a part of the original, what I call the evil empire. I call St. Archer the Yankees of beer because they bought everything.
Mikey, is that true?
No.
Okay.
No, it's not true? Well,
St. Archer, the Yankees of beer, I mean, they'd have to be there forever.
Well, but no, but Yiga was the hottest brewer in San Diego, and they bought him when they got rid of the other brewer.
Okay.
Well, I mean, just like the Yankees buy Marcek Sera.
Our point is this. They didn't give a shit about the industry. They fucking did whatever they could to fucking get by until they got
But they're making good beer.
Well, they couldn't sell it if they weren't making good beer.
They Tony Hawked it. Okay, we get it.
They did a 900. They fucking sold out. We get it.
They finally did a 900.
But
so where's the... Okay, so here's my thing about this.
Okay, Brian.
You can
Brian
stay Rounds. After class and we can answer all of your questions.
Yeah. So MillerCoors bought St. Archer.
Okay, can we talk correct. About beer? I'm getting tired of this shit.
Yeah, are we talking about beer?
No. We're talking about fucking buyouts. Let's talk about this beer that we're drinking right now.
Okay.
And you're just trying to justify everybody's buyouts.
No.
Why is this thing sticky? Why is it sticking to my lips?
Because I jerked off.
Okay, good.
What is this? What is this beer we got? Poor Tony. Oh, no, don't take off your headphones.
Where are you
or
going?
Or you're just taking a break?
I was just going to take a walk.
Oh, okay, all right.
You okay?
Well, you know.
You're hurt? Your butt hurt?
I'm not allowed to speak my opinion, so.
Oh.
All you do is just protect the big brands because you work for
no,
them.
No, I'm not. No, fuck that noise.
You guys, get somebody back me up here?
You're backed up. I don't want to hear Tony Bags, though. I want to hear Tote Bags.
I just have a opinion about St. Archer. I think they're doing really good things. And with MillerCoors buying St. Archer, do you see St. Archer everywhere?
No.
But within 3 months of Anheuser-Busch and InBev buying Elysian, buying Goose Island, buying 10 Barrel, it's fucking everywhere. And it's all coming in Anheuser-Busch kegs. You work at a beer bar and you buy a 10 Barrel keg. You buy a 10-barrel beer, it comes in an Anheuser-Busch keg. Is St. Archer going to eventually come in a MillerCoors keg? Absolutely. It's just a matter of time.
What's your point?
Right now, they're doing good things. They're making good beer. And same thing with Ballast Point. Ballast Point's all made at Ballast Point. So as long as you're not bought out by AB InBev, you're making good beer. What's the difference between Constellation buying Ballast Point and Green Flash buying Alpine? What's the difference between What's the difference between Alpine or Green Flash buying Alpine and Ding Dong's buying Firestone? But Firestone's local, so it's all okay.
Do you want me to answer? You just want to make like a blanket statement and then just like walk outside.
Oh, no, I'm not walking outside. I'm okay. I'm asking a question.
A huge difference.
Why? Explain.
First off, Green Flash buying Alpine. It's a core brand buying another core brand. They live in San Diego. The tax dollars still stay in San Diego in California.
Okay, but Firestone is bought by a Belgian company.
By how much?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows, but the
38%.
Is that what you hear?
That's what I was told by people at Firestone. 38%. So 38% of that money goes to a shell corporation, whatever, in Belgium. But they also own rad other breweries in America. So it's one brewery in there, which is awesome, which is a still family-owned cool thing. And they also goes to some other cool family-owned breweries in the United States. I can back that up. Just like I can back up the Green Flash of owning Alpine. You know, is Alpine as good as it was? I don't know. But you know what? At least it's helping get the beer out there. It's helping. You know what? Alpine has exploded since then. That family is being able to open a new pub in Alpine. I mean, they're doing great. Everything's happy. The money's still staying in San Diego County. It's still in our country. It's still doing these things. Somebody that comes in like Anheuser-Busch or MillerCoors that's now owned by Anheuser-Busch and buys out St. Archer – where the fuck it's the same thing as
but
Walmart.
Like you guys had
you go
Derek
to Walmart,
the, but you guys had Derek on the show who said, "By MillerCoors buying out St. Archer, I get badass hops for Abnormal."
Yeah, they're like, "Hey, you want some hops?
Yeah.
We got a shit ton of it. Come over."
So I'm not saying any of it's okay, but I'm saying
you know what people that when a super Walmart comes into town, some asshole that couldn't get a job probably gets a job pushing carts, and that's rad. But that doesn't make it okay. That's like fuck. Like, what are you saying right now? That just because somebody gets bought out, they get cooler hops, it's okay for the industry? Come on, Ben.
No, I'm saying they're helping the certain people getting bought out are helping the industry. Just like you just said, that Green Flash buying Alpine is helping Alpine getting across the nation. Which
Green
is great
Flash
for
is a small family-owned brewery in California. This is not a billion-dollar fucking multinational corporation that comes in and is buying out people. Like,
but
not
Duvel
a,
Morgan
that's
is, not a, is not a multi-billion-dollar industry buying Firestone?
No. I look up Duvel Morgan and see how much they're fucking worth and see how much they've bought of each brewery they work with. They don't buy. St. Archer was bought.
Oh,
St. Archer is
okay,
gone.
I'm sorry. St. Archer is a bad...
St. Archer's gone. They are owned by Miller Coors.
Owned by, and I, yes. 100%.
Firestone is owned by like 30, 40% of them is owned by Duvel Murgat, which owns a bunch of, partially owns a bunch of other places as a strategic place now. So now Firestone can brew 805 or Union Jack or whatever on the East Coast at that brewery.
Boulevard.
Now Boulevard can also like, Firestone just got Boulevard's bottling line, and they can transfer
they
it
do,
over. Boulevard is still owned majority stake by the family that started Boulevard. Like,
yes,
we're
absolutely.
Talking about things that are not taking like if someone's like, you're taking apples and oranges. It's just I'm not gonna argue with you right now. How, do you guys see what I'm talking about? This is like insane how we're even having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about someone that buys a minority stake to help build a business. They make money. We make money. Everybody makes money. And then being like, so it's cool if somebody just buys a whole brewery as well because they're $1 billion, whatever. It's just buying a brewery. So if you're so you're just trying to do the same argument that Anheuser-Busch sucks because they fucking 10 barrel or whatever buys the thing. They're everywhere now, blah, blah, blah. But it's okay that Miller Coors bought St. Archer because they're not everywhere now? Like, that's the dumbest argument I've ever heard in my life.
Tony
we
Mag-
talk about
Tony
my beer, please?
Tony Bags is saying, Tony Bags is saying Miller Coors way better than AB InBev, at least.
No, anybody's better than AB.
They're all owned by the same person. That's the insane part. This is like arguing that fucking
but
Hillary Clinton's okay because the Russians are the ones that hacked her emails and found out she's a bad
Miller
person
bought,
and not Americans hacked
Miller
her emails and bad person.
Bought
it's
St.
Like,
Archer
it's fucking insane. She's still a bad person, okay? Like, Jesus Christ. You know what? Miller- Donald Trump's a racist regardless of who finds out who's a racist. It's the same fucking thing. Why are we even arguing about this?
When they bought
this?
Them, were they part of AB?
Miller Coors is still owned by Anheuser-Busch. So
they
you're saying like, well, it's cool because St. Archer's owned by Miller Coors is not everywhere. It's the same shell corporation. You're talking about the same people.
No, it's just everyone's
you just happen to get a paycheck
it's everyone's
by that
decision
person,
of Jesus what Christ. Is a buyout and what isn't a buyout that drives me nuts.
Damn buyout beer causing all this tension.
But I might get some hops one of these days from somebody like that's extra. Like, fucking kidding me? Jesus Christ.
We need more beer.
There
we
needs
need
to
way
be
more
beer.
Beer.
Cut the tension.
So angry right now.
I will agree. If you look at each deal.
Thank you. Somebody else
own,
talk right now.
Each deal in its own spotlight, they can be looked at differently and not necessarily grouped together. They can't all be evil. I will agree with that. And
they're all evil.
I will admit, you brought up a point I didn't think about. It was company heads that left a company versus brewers or production managers that left companies. In a light, that would look different, and it is different. So it's.
But didn't the founder of Elysian leave Elysian when they sold to Anheuser-Busch?
But he was able to be public about that. So, I mean, it could be that the Ballast Point people have a non-disclosure and they could come back 6 months and say, hey, we were pushed out of the company. This is why we're doing our own thing. It's still too new to – it's easy to call
it.
It
happened like 2 days ago.
It's easy to call that, but it's not necessarily easy to see that that's what happened right now. And that's what time will tell.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. But just to lump everything in
– fuck big beer.
Yeah.
Obviously, it stresses all of us out to a great extent when this is what your life, you tend your life to be about. That's what it is. And how about that other beer?
Good vibrations. Yeah.
How about that? First
By the way, I just want to end this with Tyler, I love you.
I love you too, but it bums me out that you're such a fucking industry whore, man. Jesus Christ.
This is just surreal right now. Tony Bags.
We just got Dr. Phil on each other.
He wants to be everybody, every little brewery's best friend, yet fucking whores it out for the big guys.
Really?
Yeah, really. Bums me out. I get what you're doing. I get it. Look, you get a paycheck from them.
Honestly, it's not about the paycheck from them. It's that I am good friends with the brewer at St. Archer, and I think he's doing good things.
I'm not talking about St. Archer. I'm talking about big picture stuff here. All right, we're not going to talk about this anymore.
New beer. New beer. No, we don't have a new beer here. What was the beer? We don't think we talked about that.
Did you try Good Vibrations?
I don't think we talked about Good Vibrations.
We left off on That's Everything That Is Morro Bay, I think was what the brother said.
Love you, Bags.
Yes, it smells more.
Did anybody pay attention?
In a very good way, it smells like Morro Bay.
Everything.
What's so goddamn good? I'm out of this town. Fuck this place.
Damn it. Damn it, Fresno.
All right.
So, yeah. Good Vibrations is our Goza, which we use seawater in, aged in tequila and wine barrels, white wine barrels, and then blended with lime zest.
Wow. And there's actual seawater in there?
All our Gozas. So I would say like 30% of our beers actually use seawater in them.
Nice. I don't think I've heard of that.
Seawater?
Yeah.
We boil it. we don't have like a filter, but we boil it down and we kind of like, you know, run it through a quick little filtration process.
It's not just some random box truck going by and goes, yeah, see the side? It says seawater?
Well, no, I go and scoop it out. So I usually like, it's my excuse to go surfing. That's kind of like my fun thing. Like, oh yeah, we got to do a Goza. I'm like, sweet, I actually get to surf today. Awesome. Like, I didn't realize, so when I started the business, I was like super bummed and like worked for beer distributors my whole life. I'm like, I never get to do anything I want to do. I haven't surfed forever, which was like 4 days a week. Like, it sucks.
It's been two days.
I'm going to start my own business. Meh, meh, meh. And then I didn't surf for like 4 years. I was like, oh, shit.
Tip to those that want to be an entrepreneur and own their own business.
It's not as rad as it
is. It's not just like, I do what I want all day.
You just make your own hours. It's great. Like, no. Your hours are everybody's hours, and everybody's looking at you. And you, like, when shit hits the fan, you're the guy. And anyways, that's another tirade. Bags, you want to weigh in on this? Let's do this shit right now. Just kidding.
Hug it.
But, so I didn't surf forever. So now I'm like, I've been really like putting my foot down. Like, you know what? Surfing.
I'm doing
something for me. Trying to do it. So my big thing is like every time we get seawater, I go out there and I surf for an hour or two and then get in, pull a bucket of seawater, put the lid on and drive it down to bottling and boil it up. And it's a small – people think like, oh, my God. You're using seawater, you're going to die. And it's like,
you're killing me.
It's like, so it's anywhere from 2 to 4%. It's just based on taste. So we blend it in, we wait, and then we kind of taste it. And it's not a, we're not, when we say like, we use seawater, people are like, you can't just make a beer with seawater. It's like, dude, it's like 2%. Like, it's not a,
it just did.
We're not making an entire batch of beer with seawater. Another like little pointer for anybody that homebrews out there that wants to do this. Do not use this in the boil. Like, seawater and salty alkaline water will ruin any stainless and rip it apart. So we wait to the very, very end.
What does it do? What does it do to
science?
Yeah. It's so like, well, stainless is supposed to be, oh, nothing happens, but it's like, it'll happen, and especially when you heat it up, it's, god damn it, Bex, now what did you do?
Look what you did.
Dude, why do your bottles keep fucking
I know, my bottles keep just
They're melting here in Fresno.
The Fresno.
So hot it melts glass.
But for any brewers, so this is actually a trick that we did a little collab with New Belgium, what was that, like 3 years ago?
3 years ago.
Well, we drove seawater out to.
I remember that. We were like all jazzed about it.
And what, nothing ever happened.
What goes we're like, around. Oh my God, Libertines working with New Belgium.
Libertines would be everywhere.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I wish.
What goes around?
Yeah, what goes around. It was kind of a homage to like them being rad and working with us on a beer.
And Justin Timberlake.
And. Wait, is that the thing?
Timberlake.
You'll get it later.
Oh, I know. What goes around was around.
Right. There you go. I don't know from that.
Yeah. I'm a big JT fan.
I love gold!
new beer.
Anyways, long story short, I was there and I'm like, yeah, dump it in, like the boil. And they're like, yeah, we did that once and we like ruined a, like, you know, $200,000 brew system or something.
Oh my god!
I'm like, oh, glad you guys did that and told me. But that's what's awesome about the brew industry. I feel like, I mean, everything I know is learned from books, but mainly from talking to people and building relationships, like mine with Bags.
I love you, Tyler.
I love you too. You look really mad over there. Are you going to ruin the rest of the show?
No, I'm being angry?
Well, now I want to, before we get to voicemails, Tony, you haven't officially been on the show.
No, I haven't.
So we haven't officially talked about your gateway beer. Like, checked it off the checklist. What were you drinking before? For your gate?
So just like any kid growing up in Clovis, I drank Coors Light, but my first craft beer,
Clovis Light.
My first craft beer, oddly enough, was Moto Brew.
Yes.
Yeah.
From the Sequoias, not the Tioga Sequoias.
Nope. Sequoia.
The Sequoia.
There's a difference, people.
There's a different.
My best friend Drew got a job at Sequoia out on Champlain and Perrin, and he came home one night with this thing called a growler. I was like 18 years old, and I'm like, "What the fuck is this vessel you're bringing beer in? This is awesome.
This is legal."
And he brought home Moto Brew, and that was like, "Oh my god, this is amazing!" And then it was obviously growing up. I mean, BC's was. I tell people that's where I got my PhD in beer.
BC's here at Fig Garden.
Not at Fig Garden. At Armstrong. No, not Armstrong. What is that? Sunnyside and Clovis.
Yeah, Sierra Vista.
What? Yeah.
Oh, no. The one there. BC's Pizza. Now. The one now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, it used to be over there where the ham place is now. Honey Baked Ham
was BC's?
Yeah. Back in the day.
Back in the day.
You old people.
That's
you old people. I've always been told stories. BC's was back when they were on Sean Paul.
That was me.
And get off my lawn.
Get out of here, you bearded brewer.
So
you probably damn craft beers. Get the hell off my lawn.
You had to step your game up when you would go in there because it was Golden Drock and fucking Arrogant Bastard.
Ooh, Golden Drock.
Yeah.
So
that shit's strong, bro.
I was terrified of Arrogant Bastard. I was like, oh my god, that's just like taking
it's
a
scary.
Shot. But I drank that, and then I drank a lot of Fat Tire. And I remember when I turned 21, I went to Vegas a lot. I have a craft beer and gambling problem.
Vegas is set up for that now.
But back in the day, when I was 21, the Hard Rock Casino...
Yeah,
would give free Fat Tire.
A little off the strip, that's all right.
But they had free Fat Tire.
Whoa, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, the other casinos like Corona or Blue Moon.
Yeah, Coors Light, Corona, Budweiser. I'm like, no, I want that Fat Tire. So we would go, we would pay for the taxi cabs back then because they didn't have Ubers. Mm-hmm. And we would go to the Hard Rock and Fat Tire until we couldn't walk anymore.
Think about that.
So Moto and Fat Tire were my two gateways.
Nice. Those are new. Well, I mean,
Fat Tire, you have a lot of Fat Tire, but Moto.
The Moto.
Growing up in
new.
That
was the first craft keg I've got as a Moto brew. I was at my 21st birthday my 40th birthday party where
that was the kegger?
Yeah, it was the keg. It was Moto brew.
So I've had Moto brew then.
Yeah. We did keg stands.
I remember.
No wonder it was so hard to drink. Yeah. Holy shit.
Cool Hand Luke's in the same shopping complex as BC's out in Clovis. Because you have to say the Clovis, I learned last podcast.
The Clovis.
Where the street signs turn brown.
Yeah, when the street signs turn brown, it's time to turn around.
I grew up in Clovis. I did not claim this Fresno business. Cool Hand Luke's had Moto Brew on, and that was our watering hole on Fridays after work.
Yeah.
And Moto Brew.
Nice.
Which nowadays you couldn't pay me to drink it, but.
Wow, man. That's harsh, bro.
Do you drink it? Anybody?
It's been a while. I used to. when I go into Sequoia.
Having a long time.
When I used to go into Sequoia.
Bighorn is usually the beer I frequent when I go to the Sequoia.
They got a new session in Sequoia that I want to try.
Not to be garage mean, sale but pale? Not no, to be mean, but I can. It's new. I haven't gone to Sequoia since Tioga Sequoia opened.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what happened. If you're a beer drinker, you went that way.
Well, since we've got this little lull, let's get some voicemails going here.
Yeah,
because we have plenty this week, and damn it. And, you know, we need a board op that just board ops. Will you call me tonight and leave
me? Oh, your board op's working. It preemptively.
Damn it.
Cut it short.
Let's just hear it all. Because Tony's here. Tony knows. The avid listener, Tony Bags.
Tell me you're driving. Shout out to Scotty B for bringing me some beers tonight, too, by the way.
Nice. Scotty B brought you some beers?
Yes, he did.
The
Scotty B and Steven Zach, Garage Door Brewing.
Oh, man. Those guys are going to team up and do something, aren't they? I wish they would start a brewing podcast that would be under our umbrella. You hear that? Scotty B.
Sure, we're here for you.
No, Scotty B, call into the show. That doesn't sound like Scotty B to me. That's not the Scotty B I know. 559-492-0542 is the voicemail line of the Perfect Pour. And now we have new guidelines now. It's two max. Don't go over two, because that's the max. And then, you know, it's too much if you go over two. Too much.
7-minute abs.
No, I wanted to call in the other week.
Oh, shit.
Lumber Jose. Hi.
Lumber Jose.
From the field. With a field report.
From the field?
Yes. I love field reports.
Bad news today.
Yeah.
I just read that Terrapin Brewing Company here in Georgia has officially become buyout beer, man.
Buyout beer, bro.
Today. But in that article, I also found out something of interest. For a while, MillerCoors has actually had a minority share in Terrapin, like 25%.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
So, while we might also get another quality beer that I no longer can drink in this state, damn it. let's discuss the question. If brewery has a minority stake, are they still buyout there? I don't know. It's a good thing to think about, discuss. I kind of want to say yeah, because, I mean, even if they have a minority share, if that minority share is, say, dependent on, like, how you distribute or what you can and can't produce or compete with, then it's kind of bullshit. But if it's just, like, working capital, I guess I could make an exemption, but how would we know? You know? Mm-hmm. So, play tax, pour one out for the homies. Luckily, I haven't had a Terrapin in a long time, so I can fairly say that I am still buyout virgin. Okay, guys.
Thanks, Leper Jose.
Have a good day. Keep up the great work.
Keep up the good work. Thanks for opening up a wound. We just healed it. Just moments ago, we just healed that wound, and now you just open it up, my bros.
I think there's an actual threshold of if somebody owns more than X percent of you, it's considered buyout. But I think that's actually a thing, but I don't know if anybody's too upset about. I can't even remember the name of the brewery now. Terrapin?
Terrapin?
Here we go.
Personally, I'm a fan of Wake and Bake. It's a good beer.
Okay.
Is it going to change anything? Who knows? I mean, I don't see us in California seeing Terrapin anytime soon. So it really
doesn't. Interesting, because we didn't. I mean, it doesn't didn't matter.
It's it doesn't. It's
because we don't see here it or there. But, for Lumber Jose, it sucks, but. But he said he hadn't had it in a while anyway. So.
But I guess it's kind of it's that double-edged sword. Again, Lumber Jose now gets Ballast Point. do we get, and we get Terrapin, that's cool because they do make good beer.
I don't think I've had a Terrapin.
Can I just throw out my last little thing on this?
Yes.
I'm not going to talk about it anymore.
Yes, Tyler.
I promise. Ballast Point came out with a bunch of like crazy one-off IPAs with grapefruit and all these other things right after they got bought out, right? So then they came out in bags. You will know this more than me. So there's grapefruit, Sculpin. There's, what are the other
pineapple ones? Sculpin.
Pineapple Sculpin.
I think that's it.
Is there a mango?
Oh, no.
There's mango, even keel. There's ginger big eye. Mm-hmm. There's insert flavor here, which were all created from Alex Tweet, who is now the head brewer at Fieldworks.
Okay. What? So you've got a bunch of variants that are now massively distributed in large chains, right?
Yes.
Okay. So a grocery store has 200 SKUs, let's say, on a wall, whatever. Okay. And Ballast Point has 4. And I'm going to tell you this right now, as a small brewery, I have like 0. I might have 1 every once in a while. I have hardly anything. It's really, really hard to get a SKU. Really hard. Especially when you're with a small distributor or self-distributed, it's almost impossible to get a SKU in a grocery store, which is where 90% of sales come from.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This isn't... I mean,
I've never heard that number like... It's all about getting in a grocery store.
Oh, draft is all just to
that's
make
all
people
fun
buy
games. Yeah.
Beer in the grocery store.
But if you want to
get serious, get in the grocery store.
That's the only way you can really make money. Like, mm-hmm. it's if you're really small, you've got like 4 employees in a little tap room, you don't need to get in a grocery store. If you want to actually like, hey, I want to like be a legitimate brewery and pay the bills and have people with health insurance and all these fun things that we all as entrepreneurs want to have, mm-hmm. you have to have more wide distribution. How do you get that? Most beer sales are in the grocery store.
Absolutely.
Because that's where beer is bought. Now, most people listening to this, especially, and all this in their room, how often do you really go to Vaughn's and buy a bunch of beer?
Never.
You know, maybe every once in a while you'll go there. But for the majority of people, you go, you're buying your groceries, you're buying a steak for a barbecue, you go over there, you buy a 12-pack of whatever, a 6-pack of this or that. Maybe you're a craft beer fan, and you go and buy a couple 22s off the shelf. There's only so many SKUs on that shelf. Now, Ballast Point comes in, and they're fighting, and they're finally like, oh, okay, you know, Sculpin IPA. The hottest brand in America right now. And that's you look
that's
at the numbers,
yeah.
That's a fact. Sculpin IPA is like the hottest craft brand in at least our area, California, if not US. And they're on fire. Their growth is insane. They get bought out and the buyout goes, cool, well, we've got all this growth. How do we take more market share? Do we keep doing what we're doing? No, because you've still only got Sculpin IPA and, let's say, Even Keel on the shelf. Let's fucking throw a couple adjuncts in these. And by the way, they're delicious. I'd way rather see that than 10 different MGD 64 and MGD Light and blah, blah, blah. Like, at least it's like a cool beer. Like, you know what I mean? Even Keel with mango. It wasn't my favorite, but at least it's like a cool thing. Like, at least it's got flavor and it's a thing. Now you've got 10 SKUs on the shelf. This is a big beer thing. This is a big beer tactic. This is what they did for the last 50 years. They go in, and that's why you see MGD, MGD 64, MGD Lite, Miller Lite, Miller Lite with fucking goddamn, you know, shit tards in it. I don't know, whatever the fuck it is. And they would do that. Well, now they're like, well, wait, we can buy a small craft brewery, which Ballast Point to them is a small craft brewery, even though it's insane in our world, mm-hmm. and go, cool, we'll just throw a bunch of goddamn fruits in these things, and we can take up 10 shelf SKUs now. So now maybe that SKU that Tioga Sequoia or Libertine or Central Coast Brewing or any of these rad cool local breweries on the Central Coast could possibly put on the shelf, now they're like, yeah. But I work at this one distributor that just like has a bunch of these same variants that I could just go and it's cool and it's what it is and people know the brand and it's rad. and it's already established, and that's what they do. They take shelf space. It's all about shelf space. That's all it is. So if Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch can take, and Miller Coors, you keep saying it's separate. It's the same goddamn thing. Can take all these shelf spaces. That's awesome. And in their mind, they take it. And they do. Because now I come in and I'm like, hey, I got this weird one-off thing. Like, I'd love to have my Saison here. And they're like, yeah, but like Ballast Point has like 7 rad IPAs with different fruits in it. And they're like way bigger than you. And they've already got scan-ins. And they've got like a whole company behind it.
Chain
authorizations. Exactly.
Chain authorization.
Chain authorization. That's the biggest word.
That's the moneymaker. And they've got a whole company behind it, and they've got distribution behind it, and now these distributors are all owned by big breweries and things. That's a whole other subject, but breweries actually owning distributors, but that's another thing. That really, really hurts. And the same thing, too, with now like an Applebee's. You're Applebee's. You're all over the country, right? You've got 15 handles and 5,000 accounts across the United States or whatever the hell it is. Got 12 of them. You're going to have Coors Light, Miller Light, Bud Light,
Sam Adams,
a few other spots. And Evans. Then you're going to be like, yeah, let's bring in a couple craft breweries.
Evans.
What's your distributor going to do? They're going to go,
Ballast Point.
Hey, I got Ballast Point, Sculpin IPA, and then I also got this one with like fucking fruit in it and shit. And then I've got this other one from like 10 Barrel that's like cool. And then I've got this other and it's all the same company making these beers out of these shell breweries that does it. And that's their whole game plan. It's just take over the taps, which, like I said, Applebee's is the same as Avon's. You know, that's where the volume goes.
But
as much
you have
as,
your local small brewery, Evans, which I believe do they make Choco Tasso? With Cheer. Chew. So Evans
it wasn't Wicks.
Wicks.
Okay. So there's in the same area of LA, which is all there's Evans Brewing, who makes brilliant marketing on the same lines of 805. They make Apple of Your IPA.
Oh, shit.
And it's in every Applebee's. It's their core IPA. So it's a way for a small brewery to get their foothold into that.
And that's awesome. And they found a way, and that's great. But that's in a small market. You think they're in,
I don't think they're
Oklahoma?
Here.
They're in L.A., and they're in all of our Applebee's.
That's cute. But that doesn't fucking mean shit if you're talking about big picture stuff.
If you're talking about 10, 15 Applebee's of the 5,000, I guess that's...
But, okay, and I was under the assumption that they were in all Applebee's.
Okay. They could be. I've never...
I don't frequent Applebee's, so I couldn't tell you this, that, or the other. I just know when I go there on my route, there's Apple in my IPA from Evans Brewing, and it's the core Applebee's IPA.
Right.
So that's the way for a little brand to
sell out. And I would love to see more of that, and I'd love to see big chain stores picking up small places in regional areas and doing that. But doing this for the last 15, 20 years.
Yeah, you don't see it.
You don't see a lot of that.
At all.
And it's actually getting smaller and smaller.
So to rebuttal on that, Ballast Point's a very hard argument because... No, just hear me out. The mango even keel, the this, the that, the pineapple sculpin, the grapefruit sculpin... was all made pre-buyout, and these people put in the money to Ballast Point, which, to your argument or this, that, they wouldn't be able to do it by themselves. And it took the buyout to them to put grapefruit sculpin in a can, to put mango even keel, ginger IPA in bottles. You would never see that without Constellation stepping in. So I am agreeing with you there, but... those beers were all made and they were at the tap room well before they were bought out.
I don't know what your point is on that.
That they didn't create these beers because they were bought out by Constellation to take up shelf space.
Okay. I've made like 100 beers in the last 4 years. We could all go back and go, okay, every beer Liberty made, boom, and do it.
What I took away from what you said was they created these beers because of the buyout to create more taking up more shelf space.
I wouldn't say necessarily he said they created them. It's they used them to their advantage.
Yes, and that's what I was saying, and I agree with that. They, because of Constellation purchasing Ballast Point, if we're going to use that as an example, they put in the money to allow these awesome beers that were made by brewers that aren't even there anymore, put in mass production and taking up shelf space for the Libertines, for the Central Coast Brewings, for the Tioga Sequoias, for the, eventually, hopefully it becomes fruition, Pendragons. But I guess I was just trying to say that those beers were created from brewers years ago that haven't been in Ballast Point in 5 years.
Voicemails, toy bags. We're voicemails.
Perfect pull. Hey guys, it's Florida Steve. Long time no talk. Yeah, I haven't called you guys in a few weeks.
This guy's from Florida?
Florida Steve, bro.
Busy. Wow.
These are worldwide.
South Florida, worldwide. For myself, as far as Florida's work, the world. Family, beer so drinking old. As well, yeah. Guys. I have had some great beer over the last few weeks. Beer that I want to kind of bring up. I made two separate trips out to the Fort Myers area, which is out on the west coast of Florida. The first trip, me and my wife stopped at Point Yabel Brewing, which is a very recent brewery for Fort Myers, and we got a growler fill of a brown ale called Sanibel Sleigh Ride. This beer had a little bit of gingerbread spice added to it, and it was actually delicious. I kept going back for more out of the growler with that beer. And then the second beer of note, it was on my second trip out to Fort Myers. This time it was the family. We were out there for a few days. We, again, stopped at Point Yabel, and we got their Captiva Cream Ale. And we got a couple of crowlers filled to bring home of that one. Vanilla notes. It was creamy, almost like a coffee creaminess to it. Very little hop bite. Just a good sipping, just a very well done cream ale. It was very good. Other than that, really not much. I did have some Reef Donkey from Sarasota Brewing at my time in Fort Myers. And as far as things you guys can do with the show, I really wouldn't change a thing. I think us voicemailers just have to curb things. Maybe only one or two voicemails per week from us.
Perfect. Last voicemail.
Other than that, you guys are doing a great job, and you guys got to keep up the good work. Also, Matt, you had a question for me. Continental Drift, the collab from Knee Deep and Cigar City.
Yes.
I got with my Cigar City contact. He said the bottles are only available from the tap room. They're not being distributed in Florida, unfortunately, as of yet. If any of that changes, I will definitely let you guys know.
Maybe Miller Coors will buy them out. You can get them everywhere.
Contact, let me know if that does change. So that's the news I got for you, Matt. And cheers, guys. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Cheers, Fantasy.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Oh, he nailed it. He nailed it at three minutes. Like, he timed it just right.
Wow. Pros. We have pro voicemailers.
Pro voicemail.
That's what the pros do.
Napa
know-how.
Napa know-how.
One more before we open a new beer.
You're welcome.
Yeah, now that's in my head.
Hey, perfect pour, Fontana Jim here. Huh. I want to push a big old giant thank you and shout out to all you guys up there at the Perfect Pour.
Thank you,
had
Fontana Jim.
Had a great time last week. Wanted to especially thank Chew Your Beer for the Chocotasso,
because
that was a super fantastic funsies. Another giant shout out.
It's not Dirt Town, bro.
Scotty B. The Mighty Quinn. Fantastic. Thank you, brother. You could sell the fuck out of that.
The Mighty Quinn is good. I don't know why Scotty B doesn't think it was good.
Think about it. It's fantastic. Nick, thank you for your smooth and sexy voice. Mikey, thank you for your awesome donation of your studio and the invites across.
Thank you.
Coordinating that.
Thank you.
Bearded Brewer, thank you for the hospitality. We made a trip to Popolo's.
Yeah.
I liked it so much, I realized as I was finishing my buffalo chicken fries that we had before the podcast that, holy shit, I didn't try the world-famous Popolo's salad bar.
There's only room for one.
Popolo's salad bar, and it's really everything you guys pump it up to be. It was a fantastic time. The owners are great. The atmosphere is great. Even though their AC busted that day, they had some guys in fix it. It was a fantastic time. Once again, thank you all. See ya.
Busted.
Thank you, Fontana Jim. Man. Always. That was awesome to have Fontana Jim. To give a quick little Popolo's update. I don't want to drain. You know, 2.5. Go into a tangent here. But the salad bar is a little bit bumped up. I was in there the past week. It's getting a little better, and they have room for more things, more activities.
I was so sad. I wanted to leave today like an hour early just so I could go to Popolo's before I got sick.
What the fuck is Popolo's?
Oh my god!
It's a pizza place that's existed for about 40 years in town.
Never heard of it.
Exactly. And it's just they do the same thing. I mean, but they just recently moved into a new location. But the old one was the same thing. It had tube TVs, wood paneling, oversized booths. Uh-huh. Everything was tan, light colored wood or brown.
No, burlap laminate on the tabletop.
Burlap laminate on the tabletops.
Yes.
They had it was like a 30, like probably like a 20-foot salad bar. It was just packed with ice, and they'd put 35
kale.
Different toppings on top of it.
Pretty kale
and they'd cover
ice.
The ice with kale. You wouldn't actually be able to eat the kale at the salad bar, but it was there. So it was just kind of like an epic thing that we could go there, get good pizza, get good salad bar, and have beer. And now they have a new location, and things are kind of modernized, but still good pizza, even better beer selection, and they still have salad bar.
Yay.
Matt is a salad bar professional.
I don't mind a good salad bar.
Big on the salad bar.
Sometimes you have to eat a salad.
That's once in a while.
Guys,
that's what she said.
You hear me? You're the echoing noise.
What is it, Sky B?
Guess what I'm doing?
Uh-oh. It's a shower.
No, I'm not taking a dump. No, it's not that kind of echo. It's a different kind of echo. We're in Dry Store Brewery. That's right. We're brewing.
Oh, in the garage. Yeah, brewing in the garage.
Well, I thought there was a couple dudes like in the shower.
Voicemail.
Cavernous
so,
shower.
If that's the case, then go ahead and guess. Go ahead. I dare you. Guess what we're making.
A mosaic.
Blue cheese IPA.
Blue cheese IPA.
I think they give up. Well, Nick might know.
Damn it. What is it, Nick?
Don't tell him. Don't tell the other
Nick.
Guy.
Oh, sorry, guys.
Okay, we're going to tell you. It is an innovative beer that needs to be made. And only a visionary, like Steven Zach, can come up with it. And it is called the Blue Cheese IPA.
Jesus Christ. I was hoping you were kidding.
Cheese in this IPA, folks. So what you're saying is, there is
so what you're saying
in this IPA. That's right. I watched it melt into the wort. Oh, yeah.
There's
blue cheese mold floating around in it.
Oh,
yeah. But don't worry. That was... Sitting there for like 15 minutes on a boil. It's fine. Fine.
Only 15 minutes on a boil.
No, yeah, I mean,
it's okay.
No.
So anyway, that's what we're making. Maybe you'll get some. We'll see.
Uh-oh. Is that threat
yeah.
or promise?
All right, well, anyway, keep up the great work.
And
we're brewing.
We're brewing.
Tyler went full grumpy kitty when he heard that.
Scotty
you know,
B
I've
Steven
thrown a
Zach.
Lot of shit in fucking beer before.
Scotty B and Steven Zach showed up to
that's a
the
first
blue,
scene tonight.
Blue cheese. They have not thought of blue
and
cheese.
Steven Zach's like, I'm gonna make a blue cheese IPA. I'm like, what the fuck did you just tell me? He's like, yeah. He's like, because I was drinking an IPA the other day and eating some blue cheese and it tastes delicious. I'm like, yeah. Doesn't mean to put it in there. Hopefully
know.
It works out. Hopefully it
you
works out.
Know.
I hope the God is great. But it
We're
was just like, that's fucking random as fuck.
We're going to have it. What is this? Wait, let's have a new beer before we get to more voicemails.
Did you guys get Saison Fonse?
I don't know.
Yes, yes, we did.
That was. Oh wait, Ronde maybe Mami. I didn't. Because there was two bottles that have like broken.
It was the darker
tops.
Of the two.
Oh, I did get that one. That was nice.
Well,
the Saison Fonse. Tell us about that one.
Just our dark version of our Saison. Fonse means dark in French. So kind of
yes, we know it's sour. On the label, that's what it says.
It's, I just wanted this to pop like
it's kind of like our thing. But yeah, just kind of a slight acidity. We didn't use we use a little bit of chocolate malt, but not a lot. We use a lot of midnight wheat, but not midnight wheat because we go through BSG, so they have like a fake version of midnight wheat that's the knockoff. But you don't get the a lot of the bitterness from like normally a chocolate malt. So I
pass the top.
Bitterness and tartness are not friends, so we try to like anything we do.
Sorry, wow. Sorry, apologize.
Is anti-bitterness, so we're trying to keep that out of our beer. So midnight wheat is your best friend.
Midnight wheat, remember that.
Just ask for what is just like.
You think that would go well with the blue cheese?
I'm not gonna knock it because I haven't tried. It could be amazing because I've made a lot of beers and people tell me I'm a fucking idiot and I'm like, no, you just got hold on here, bro.
You just got to
check it out.
Wait it out.
It sounds
just
like they got a plan and they're gonna go through with it. Mm-hmm. And I'm stoked for them for experimenting and doing it. And you know what? Shit, 2 years from now, Sculpin. Blue cheese might be a fucking thing. I don't know.
Just like last year, Tyler's like, I'm fucking sick of these people making Christmas beers. I'm going to make a Christmas beer. I'm going to shove a whole fucking tree in the fermenter.
I actually did that.
Yeah, I know. I seen it.
Yeah, I put a whole Christmas tree in a fermenter.
Did that do anything?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It tasted like a Christmas tree.
in a bad way?
No. Well, that's up for your...
Is there still some of this around? Maybe Christmas.
I have a bottle of it.
There might be some floating around still. We don't have any at the brewery anymore.
I think we might have. I honestly still think I saved a bottle of that because it's so fucking weird.
Yeah, but I bought a Christmas tree from a Christmas tree farm and cut it down and then drove it back to the brewery.
Because you gotta have a fresh one if you're gonna put it.
Well,
in there.
Fuck yeah, you know.
Freshies,
local, fresh local.
This is a freshie, guys.
Was it free of hormones?
Yeah. I put some hormones in there.
Free of hormones, yeah. But there was still like inhabiting birds and nests and shit in there.
Yeah, so I fucking tossed that bad boy in there. And,
was that tree crushable?
It was so crushable, bro.
Super crushable.
It was definitely not crushable. It's a very. It's a unique beer that it's a time and a place. It's a perfect Christmas beer. I mean, it was our really
tastes like Santa Claus.
Tart stout Saison Fonse on steroids. I mean, this thing is very, very tart, astringent, big beer. But if you want to, like, if you're at a bottle share, you got a bottle and you have four or five people sitting around, crack that thing open, let everybody get a little. Nobody wants to dome our Christmas porter, for sure. Especially that one.
What we have right now is a pretty awesome name.
It's all about sharing, you know?
Yeah, it is. Pretty awesome name and label art, Soccer Mom.
Yeah.
Tell us about Soccer Mom we're having right now.
So all of our we're at the
label. That's a pretty old Soccer Mom on the label.
I didn't get to really tell our story of our brewery, but everything we do goes into cool ships overnight, and we're all about local ingredients, local yeast strains, all those things. So recently, 2 years ago or so, we teamed up with a rad dude named Jack. Everybody calls him Avocado Jack. If you look him up on Instagram,
right.
Avocado Jack, check him out. He's such a small batch little farm that he doesn't have like a thing for his farm. It's just this random dude's personal Instagram, but he does all his stuff through there. So he gets all our grain from our brewery, feeds them to his pigs, his cows, a lot of his livestock. And this guy came in, he's about my age, I'm 32 next month. This guy, and he's like, yeah, I really want your grain. I'm like, well, I already got a guy. And he's like, yeah. And he started telling me the story of how he was his grandpa's farm is in Cambria, which is about 30 minutes north of us. And he's got all these acreage, he's got all this fruit. And he really wanted to make a creamery and do this cheeses, and he's got it's the rat. He's got a disc golf course he just built for himself out there. And like, I'm a big disc golf, right? The guy is fucking rad. And I'm just like, yes, like, I want to work with you. I don't know where this is going to go, like, but I just, whatever you want, like, let's do this. So I started giving him all our grain and switched to him. And pretty soon he starts coming. He's like, yeah, I got like a passion fruit. You want passion fruit? And I'm like, fuck yeah, I want passion fruit. And we made Latter-day Fruit, which is the first collaboration we did with them. And we almost exclusively now, all of our fruit comes from Stepladder Ranch now in Cambria. I would say like 70% of the fruit we use. And then we give all the grain to his cows and pigs, which we then use in our pub in Morro Bay. And then soon when we open our restaurant in Slow, we'll use them as well. So we're able to actually use the same meat that we're feeding with our grain. This beer, that's where I kind of started talking on this tangent, but he has like tangerines and oranges out there. So what's fun about him and what's kind of sucks too at the same time is like, he's kind of like us as a brewer. We're kind of just like always on the edge, just like running and gunning, not really like, not that I don't plan things, but I don't really plan things. Just kind of like shit, just like fucking what's going on today, you know? And Bags knows that, but, and so he'll just like drive up and, or call me and be like, yeah, bro, I got like fucking 3,000 pounds of passion fruit. Like, cool, man. Yeah, like, when? He's like, I'm on my way to brewery
like
right now.
35 minutes.
Shit. Okay, fucking yes. I'll do this. Like, fucking do it. And so we've made a lot of beers, actually, that way. Yeah, he actually has a creamery now that he washes a bunch of his cheeses with our beer. So it's actually funny. Like, he's been, I'm going to say struggling. I mean, the guy's killing it, but you know, he's kind of a little off-changed, and he came to me the other day, and he's like, dude, the cheese that we wash with your Saison is, like, put us to the next level. Like, it's actually, the label actually says now, like, washed in Libertine, say, like, sour beer, and it's fucking rad. It's really cool to be working with somebody like that. We love working with, like, we work with a lot of local producers of just things, like,
yeah,
and I love seeing that, and I love working with people like that, and it's super stoked to. But yeah, we have like our own now. We're doing a cheddar that's actually marbled with our stout. That then is the outside of it has the coffee rinds from the coffee stout, like the sour coffee stout, yep. We do. So it's like a skin of coffee. This is washed in our saison, and it's avocado Jack. Look him up on Instagram. Avocado
where Jack. Where do we get this cheese?
Where he's actually cheese? Distributing everywhere. That's what's rad about it.
You mentioned in, cheese.
Where?
He's in like he's in Whole Foods. He's all over the place. If you come into the pub or the tasting room, actually, right now, the in Slow.
Get in there.
No,
in Slow. More the Slow one.
The Slow one. So if you buy a bottle of Saison, I think it's like $15 for a bottle of Saison or Central Coast Saison. For $5 more, you get an actual wedge of it, and it's on a little like string, and it actually sits on the bottle, and God, so it's like washed in that beer. So for extra,
so $5. Nick, you got to come to Slow.
Gotta go to Slow.
But our new cheese plate in Slow will be actually all the cheeses on that cheese plate will be either washed or somehow have something in those cheeses that went with our beer. And yeah, no, it's a great relationship. The guy's awesome. And yeah, so the tangerines and oranges, this is just our golden ale base, aged on his tangerines and oranges. We call it Soccer Mom just because everybody's, for me at least, you know, summers, the Soccer Mom sitting on the thing with the orange wedges.
Hey, girl.
Got to be kind of funny.
So, Capri Suns and orange wedges.
A lot of citrus, a lot of bitter.
I like it. It's good in
Cougar Town.
There's still more voicemails on.
Hey, guys. It's Paul. I'm sitting right out in Paul front of McLeod Ales in Van Nuys, California, waiting
so
for
good.
Chew Your Beer to show up. We were making a plan to hang out here today before I have to get on my train, and then I looked and realized they didn't open until 5. I said, I don't think it's going to work, man. It's going to be too much of a crunch. And he said, let me see if I can pull some strings. So he sets up this little private tour for us. How about that?
Aww,
pretty amazing. So anyway, I'll be in there pretty soon. But I just called because I think some thank yous are in order. I want to thank you guys first and foremost for having me on the show. I had a wonderful time. I need to thank Fontana Jim for being my personal chauffeur for the day and letting me crash in his motel. We got to thank Matt for stoking us out at the Popolos.
Yep.
We got to think.
I got to go to
what
this
about
conference.
The brewery?
What time are they open them up?
Fresno's good people, man. I had a great time. Oh, my God. In San Diego, holy shit. I did it up, and I don't even know where to begin with that. I will say that I think my favorite brewings are the up-and-comers, you know? I went up to all the requisite places, but some of the smaller ones, smaller, newer ones, like Council, and I really liked Fall a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, I liked everything. There was no bad beer, but, holy shit. All right, guys, until the next time, have a blast, like I said. Take care.
Keep up the good work.
I'm a big Fall fan myself, actually.
I wasn't trying to say anything. I really appreciate Fall's beers, and they're really good. It's just the disconnect, I guess, of how...
Jesus Christ.
I'm just going to stop.
All right.
You two are just like brothers. Just
order me at the perfect four.
Chew your beer.
I'm driving. Guess where I'm driving to?
McLeod.
I'm going to say McLeod.
Lupulos. Or no, what's it called? What did you say it's called?
Guess who I'm meeting there, eh?
Paul.
I'm Paul in Fairfax.
What are you, Holmes? I'm meeting Paul from Fairfax, eh? So check it out, eh? The brewery's closed, eh? They're open from 5 to 10, Holmes.
I heard
so,
the story.
You know, me being a cool guy and all that stuff.
Sounds familiar.
I called a couple friends, they made some shit happen, and guess what?
They're going to open.
I'm getting Paul a little brewery tour of Cloud Ale Day that night.
Wait, fucking
you can't wait, eh? He just texted me, Holmes. He said to look for a skinny white guy. And I told him, everybody there is skinny and white. So he's going to have to, like, I don't know. Maybe speak to me when I walk up, and then I know it's him.
Eh?
I'll call you back later. Eh? I
said,
watch you. Peace out, eh?
He's out. Chew. More chew. He did call
two
back.
Two of our listeners combining for the first time, telling the same story.
Hey, Perfect Four. This is Zorro, a.k.a. not Zorro, or as you would say, fucking Zorro. Just that correction from the previous voicemail. It's Ojai, so that new brewery from the previous Golden Road owner, not Fontana.
Oh, wait. I think I skipped ahead here.
And I thought it was a couple of the browns that I think that are kind of staples for me. We got to talk about browns a little bit in that last episode. Moosterl, Big Sky is a big one. Revisit for me. Breckles Brown from Anchor.
Both
Nut Brown, we can get it down here. You guys probably get it more than we do. And then the Kodiak Brown Ale from Midnight Sun. Anyway, that's it for me.
Oh, yeah. Cheers. I've had to get all of those for producer Becky.
There's a producer?
Yeah. She's sleeping.
Not for this show. Not for this show.
For Darktown.
Fancy.
For Darktown.
What are they? The perfect four? Oh, shit. I'm in front of McLeod's, and guess who's here, eh?
Hey, guys. It's Paul.
Oh, no.
And guess what, Holmes?
Voicemail Inception.
A tour with Alistair and his wife, Jennifer. And it was cool, eh? They got us drunk, I think. so drunk. They gave us some free gifts and some coupons, eh?
coupons?
$2 coupons off your beer, but I'll sell them to you for like $1.99, eh? Hold on, Paul, I want to say a few things, eh? Watch out.
I want a Libertine
coupon. Man, you guys, really chew your beer, set me
Harbor Freight, 20%
off. It cut off. Wasn't my fault.
Can I use my Harbor Freight coupons at Libertine?
So I went and met Chew Your Beer.
Did I get a free flashlight with bottle purchase?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, hopefully.
I went and met Chew Your Beer at McLeod a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, you're part of that other meetup.
With Kelly and not Zorro. Zorro?
Yeah.
But I want to know, I'm all about...
And Andrew. Don't forget Andrew.
I'm all about the lady on the corner who had the little fucking nacho and ice cream truck.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn.
Nachos
and ice cream.
Oh, my God.
Had a little, like,
next
ding,
level.
Ding, 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 ding truck.
Yeah. That's
and
all you need.
And she had nachos and ice cream. Trying to find out where that lady's at.
Holy
the question
shit.
Is, do you put your ice cream in your pocket for later or the nachos in your pocket for later?
Solid question.
Yeah, wait, you gotta go to the ice cream first. It's a science.
Ooh, I would go with the ice cream because
save the ice cream for later.
Because cold nachos are still good nachos.
Nice. Just the initial burn is a little hard to get over.
Ice cream's going to melt, but cold nachos are still good nachos.
Hey, Fontana Jim here. I realized I forgot to ask.
Just back, bro.
Or not to ask, but thank Condominium Townhouse Brewing for the cool brews that they brought there. Town to crush them all.
Brews.
Anyway,
crushable
I
brews.
Had a question for Tyler from Libertine. Tyler, I wanted to know how you guys balance out what you like to do in your fun beers as opposed to maybe your core beers that you have to keep in production to keep the lights on and the air conditioning flowing. And I guess I'll listen to your guys' answer on the live podcast Friday. Thanks. See ya.
Wait, what was
that? Oh, one more thing.
Since
I've been hearing a lot of the keep up the good work guys, I kind of wanted to end this call with a dry hop or die. Thanks, buddy.
Uh-oh. See ya. Damn it.
He's provoking the bear.
My carts, as it were, are not set up this week. The Wi-Fi is down inside the house, so I can't get to the carts right now. So I apologize for that.
Fontana had asked about, is Tyler. There a beer?
Well, he's assuming Libertine has core beers.
He's saying, is there a beer that you make that keep the lights on, the air conditioners flowing, keep your staff paid? Is there a beer that does that, or are you just kind of sporadic with batch?
Well, I heard something about, like, is it different from your other ones or something? I don't know.
But, you know, just...
Yeah, he was assuming you had
what are your core beers
so that's
and what
question,
are the fun beers?
Do you have one?
I mean, so we have Pacific Ocean Blue Goza. We have our Central Coast Saison. We've got Aubrey Rice Saison. And we've got Edna Table Saison.
Wild IPA?
And Wild IPA.
So those are the ones that are...
We
could probably get a bottle of...
to make as much as we can to keep out there. Everything else is kind of a one-off, or we're trying to, you know, like Frambois, we can make two or three times a year.
What about Summer Breeze?
Summer Breeze is a once-a-year thing.
But
I'm going to sing that song eventually. I just know it.
Summer Breeze.
Makes me feel fine.
But don't you switch the fruit in it every time?
You switch the fruit in it, yep.
Okay.
Blowing like a jasmine in my mind?
So that's actually like a second running spear that we do. So we do our Frambois. Every time we make our Frambois, once a year we make our Frambois. You rack off a bunch of raspberries, and you've got this big, giant, 2 foot deep, thick raspberry concoction that's just, you dump it down the drain, what do you do with it? So we usually rack another beer on top of that, and then add another fruit to it, and then let that sit for an entire year. So that's why there's always raspberries in Summer Breeze.
What?
But then a different...
do you have a Frambois on tap down there?
A few times a year,
Man. Okay, that might make it okay that you took away Bloody Marys for my wife.
Yeah.
If you have a Frambois on tap.
That's another story.
Yeah.
But,
I remember the first time I walked in, I've never seen there was no liquor. I'm like,
what the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
That was my only buy-in, like... She's like, we could go to Libertine. They have Bloody Marys there. And we went there, I don't know, last time or two, and no alcohol. No
they
booze.
Have alcohol.
No hard booze.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have to sneak across. I would have to work certain festivals in Morro Bay, and I'd be like, I can go to Libertine and have a shot of Jameson. And all of a sudden, I walked in one day, I'm like, I will have a shot of your finest Jameson. And Casey's like, we don't got that no more. I'm like,
yeah. Leave now.
I don't have time for beer. So I'm not going to slam a Libertine beer.
Right.
So I'm like,
we have 48 other beers.
Yeah, but you have very good beer. Nothing. It's nothing slammable.
Okay.
There's no the M lager.
I'd rather just drink water.
Back to the caller. It's all hopping rates. That's how you can control your acidity, if that's what he's talking about, maybe. I don't know.
Now I forget. It was he assumed you had core beers.
Which we kind of do.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mom.
Jesus Christ, bags pulled together.
Voicemails.
Hey, guys. Can you hear
Scotty
me?
B? Is that Scotty B back again?
I'm drinking.
Uh-oh.
So, I want to let you know that the next incarnation, the quintuple IPA,
yeah,
is going to be brewed this weekend.
Brewed.
Brewed. brew it.
Called the Harley Quinn.
I don't mind called so brew if it's your brewing.
You have to come up with their names because this isn't going to be the last thing.
Harley Quinn. That's a DC character.
I have some suggestions.
Uh oh.
Could be made again and again. But this beer takes 2.5 months to make. It takes 2 months just to ferment and about half a month
just watch
to
it
dry hop.
For 30 minutes.
So. Do I sound all choppy? Do I sound choppy? That's because I'm out back with there's a fan out here on the patio. So, just want to let you know, prepare yourself. The next one's going to be much drier.
I don't think it's going to be as good as Mighty Quinn.
It's going to be dry, bitter.
Who, this guy's a homebrewer guy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, that's gotcha. All I'm going to say.
Top notch.
My voice sounded cool nice. In this fan.
Do you have any cool homebrew beers they send you guys?
Keep up the great work.
He's got one in the fridge from him.
Yeah.
Jenkins, Scott A.B.
What?
We have a chocolate thosso, but it's I don't think it's cold enough yet.
Wait,
I think Tony Bags meant he has a Scotty B beer in the fridge.
But wait, did I hear chocolate thosso?
There's chocolate thosso.
You got to talk Matt into it, though.
Oh, I know. Chew sent me a chocolate thosso.
Okay.
But I've had one. Y'all have like four. It's a good beer.
Yeah, it's a damn good beer. Thanks, Scotty B.
Ooh.
What is this?
But yeah, so Scotty B did come by tonight, and him and Steve and Zach came by Garage Door Brewing and brought me their new Mosaic Hop. What do you say, Mosaic Hop drinking? IPA. So.
Was it Citra or Mosaic?
I want to say he said Mosaic.
Oh, okay. He just did all Citra one, too. I was wondering if that
I could be wrong. It was a long time ago.
Can I just throw out there? This is like a rad studio.
Thank you.
And I'm not trying to like downplay like, oh, it's just a podcast thing. Like, this is fucking pretty damn cool. Like, I'm very impressed. I've been on a lot of like,
thank you.
Sketchy.
Well, it's still sketchy. It's
like a rad sketchy. Cool, man. This is I dig it. This is a pretty awesome little setup.
We often get asked, is there live footage or photos that you take with the guests? And you know, we want to see your. And we're just like, no. You're kind of either you're here and you live it, or
yeah.
We're just gonna listen to it, man.
You see beer and beer.
We are an audio format.
I'm really jealous of the Sega Genesis has got me like. That's dope as fuck with Alter Beast. Like,
I got nerd stuff here they're looking at.
It is collector's paradise in this.
They have studio. Mikey has
old shop in Fresno, collector's paradise.
Cassette tapes.
Oh, hey.
Living in a collector's paradise.
Like Van Halen.
On your Coolio remake and Rat. Gangster's Paradise in the collector's paradise.
Hey guys, this is Zorro, aka not Zorro. Park.
Wait, is this three for him?
Wait, how do I call into this? I'm going to fucking call in every time to this.
How do I do that? Browns.
No, this is.
I do agree there.
I should have played this earlier.
My style in a lot of places. You guys hit most of the highlight ones that I usually go to, like Lost Coast Downtown Brown, Nautical Nut Brown from Mail Smith, Avery's Ellie Brown, one I hit go to for me as well.
Oh, the Avery, I haven't had that.
You know, just a few browns here and there, but those are usually the highlight ones, and the rest are usually kind of few and far between. And then another update I had from the recent podcast was you guys were, you know, talking about Golden Road again, and I'm not sure if you guys heard, but I guess one of the former owners,
he's building like
a new brewery, I guess.
Oh, here we go.
From the Fontana region or Fontana Heights or something like that. Anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, it's going to open a couple years, like a theater, hotel, kind of, I don't know, hipster, vegan paradise kind of thing or something. Anyway, keep it the good work, guys. Cheers.
Keep it the good work, guys. I don't have my board, my sound clips right now. It's just driving me crazy.
Perfect Pour. This is Larry from Tulare.
Larry from Tulare.
First time caller.
Couple month listener, and love the show. I just wanted to call and give a shout out to Chew Your Beer.
Yeah.
I tweeted him. I was going to L.A. to pick up my boy at LAX. Tweeted him and asked if I could get a chocolate tassel from him. And he obliged. He
is this Raider?
Met me and gave me one. And loved the beers right in my wheelhouse. What's That's kind of why I asked
chocolate?
For one.
Chocolate and, tassel.
He hooked me up with McLeod's. Wife and I went there, had some beers. It's a cool place.
Putting McLeod's on the
map.
Really
good beers too. Kind of reminded me of Titus Coy a little bit. It's like an old garage converted. when I went back to LA to take my boy back to the airport, I stopped at Firestone Walker in Venice, the new one. Man, they did that place right. It was very nice. Oh, okay. Very nice.
It is really nice.
Let's see. I had a DBA unfiltered there, which really surprised me. Really different from the regular DBA. And I had the DBA Nitro, a Sticky Monkey, some Plutonic number 2. They had a lot of good beers there. I know you don't like the bio stuff, Mikey, but if you like it, drink it. That's what I look for. Anyways, I've you guys keep doing the before. Podcast the way you are. Don't change anything. And
thank you for the feedback.
Love the Rod, Stacey, and Shannon episode.
Oh, everybody
forever will love that one.
There's that. Not everybody. I've heard different things.
Oh
really? There's
different things. No,
I haven't heard any bad feedback from the Rad Stacey Shayna episode.
There's some legitimate talk about it. I won't say it right on the air, but you know, and the most part, yeah, it was pretty rad.
So can I do one more tangent and I'm done?
Yeah. All right.
There you go. No.
Let's get one more voicemail. Last voicemail.
Okay. Minutes. All right.
And then tangent.
What a little pick it out, eat to your beer here, eh?
No, that's three for two.
20 bags, eh?
Is that three?
Mm-hmm.
Should we kick him out? By 20 about
motherfucking bags, Holmes. It was nice meeting you, Wesley. It was a pleasure, eh? You were a real nice gentleman, Holmes. Right. And it was pretty cool, like, hanging out with you for, like, the 10 minutes that we hung out, eh? I just have a question for you, Holmes. Ready? How come you didn't untap any McLeod, eh?
Oh.
That kind of hurt my feelings, Holmes. I'm just kidding, that's it. But I was wondering why you did it. Did you not like the beer there, eh? Or what?
Oh.
What are they, Holmes? I sent out a little something. I hope Matt got it there. I hope you guys are enjoying it. And Matt, you can tell him the story about one of those growlers. It's Crowlers, Holmes.
Crowler story.
You got Nick. Mikey, Holmes, yep. You guys got to stay on your Twitter. It says you might not. One day you might get surprised, eh? And I might be at a party, and then I'll snap a picture of their list, and then I'm gonna say name it, and I'll send you a crowler, eh? So,
yes.
I mean, luckily Matt caught up on that, eh? And he got two Holmes. So, man, you guys got to keep your notifications on. It says what are they, Holmes? I had to watch you.
No,
and Tony Banks. Nope. It was
not
nice
just
meeting
no,
you,
but
Holmes.
Fuck no.
And last show was awesome. So you know you kind of. It kind of raised the bar for you, Holmes, so hopefully you do good. Totally.
No,
I can watch
shit.
Away. Peace out.
Peace out.
So, honestly,
how
do
people
know
that we're even here right now?
Magic.
So,
yeah, I mean,
we
spread magic.
Some people pay attention to our Twitter feed.
All right, so what had happened was...
Bags told me a essay. This guy told me straight up. He hated your beer, man. And I was like, don't do that, dude. He's like, I hate that shit. And I was like, dude, SA, don't fucking hate on that shit. He told me that, man. I'm just trying to be straight with you, Holmes.
Holmes? No, what had happened was we were going down to LA
starting shit.
To go meet Chew.
Making stories.
And by the time fucking LA traffic and trying to find a goddamn parking spot in McLeod.
Ooh.
There was no
parking McLeod.
There's no parking in McLeod. Like I said, the only reason I found out about Nacho Ice Cream Lady is because we had to circle the block. Honestly, I was just hanging out and meeting Chew and talking with Kelly and not Zorro and really didn't think about Untapped. There was no
that's not what he told me, dude.
There was beer. It was English-style cask beers and...
I thought it was great, by the way. I just want to let on for the rest.
Tyler wasn't there. Tyler can't even tell you what fucking city it's in.
Yeah, it's in fucking the California city.
I don't think it's in California city. I think it's a real city. But...
And Bags kept telling me it's not. And I'm like, dude, it's really, really good.
I just don't want to untap.
So, theme show of the show is Tyler's a liar. Yeah, honestly, nothing was horrible at all. Nothing was standout. Nothing was bad. It was what it was. But I literally was just talking with Chew, and you guys saw the periscopes and all the stuff that Chew was sending out and Kelly was sending out. nothing but love. But yeah, I was just enjoying hanging out and meeting. It was, yeah, never mind. It was
been an epic few weeks of listeners meeting up with each other. So
and when I just said, can I go on my tangent? And that's yes, what here, it was back to about. Your tangent. That's what it was going to be about. It was, you know, because of this podcast, I've got to meet fucking rad people like Chew Your Beer, like Kelly, like even all you guys from listening to the podcast. Well, okay, maybe Nick's not that cool. But.
Yes, I knew it.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't knew that cool.
It was a blanket.
We're all stuck with Rad Stacy, but what can you do?
Rad Stacy.
I really need to listen to this Rad Stacy episode.
She has three shows, two with us? At least two with
us.
Yeah,
but the last one is most epic. You're so passionate, you're so passionate, you're so
passionate. It's Rad Stacy's by Paul. We have songs. Rad Stacy, Rad Stacy, what you gonna do if new girls just sells out? You got a fucking guy that writes goddamn whole songs?
whole goddamn home. Songs.
Rad Stacy, what
you
He's
the Dave Grohl of beer songs.
For Before Podcast.
It was recorded in the shower in his house at Fairfax, California.
So he gets that epic reverb.
Fucking awesome.
But yeah, so again, I just want to say thank you guys.
Hey, thank you, man. We're going to dump a Bin God Drinking.
Dump it.
If there's a quick looking out for, is there, could there be, for Tony Bags, could there be a beer, a whale out there for you? Is there?
There's two.
Really?
There's two. Actually, both by Lost Abbey.
Oh, a couple of Lost Abbey whales.
Isabel Proximus is something I've always wanted to try.
What did you just say?
Isabel Proximus?
Isabel Proximus?
Or Izzy.
Izzy.
And Yellow Bus.
Yellow Bus is another Lost Abbey.
Yeah.
What kind of beers are those?
Yellow Bus is an apricot sour?
That's the tree that died in
but,
Tommy's
like, honestly, there's, yeah, there's probably, like, maybe 8 bottles left in the world.
Whoa. Well, that is a whale.
Super whale.
That's uber whale.
But, yeah, there are still bottles inside of Lost Abbey. I know that for a fact.
Oh, so we gotta do a Mission Impossible Lost Abbey style?
Pretty much.
Tom Cruise has got to get into Lost Abbey.
Almost had one time.
What? How do you almost have one?
So
what was her name?
Her name was
Lost Abbey.
Like the only episode I listened to where somebody talked about they almost got a hand job somewhere and they drank a heady topper or something.
That could be any episode, actually.
Yeah, come on. More specific.
So Lost Abbey did the box set. The tracks where they all named after the songs.
Yeah.
So the last track 12 release, they did a bottle share where you brought your rarest Lost Abbey beer. And I had a bottle of Cable Car Creek. And there was like a Facebook post, and somebody said, if somebody shows up with Cable Car Creek, Tommy's going to open a Yellow Bus. And so I was like, oh, I will open my Cable Car Creek for this. And some beer geek guy was there and was just pestering
Tommy. Beer geeks, man.
And he's like, when are you going to open Yellow Bus? When are you going to open Yellow Bus? When are you going to open Yellow Bus? And so Tommy was like, I was going to do it today, but you've kind of ruined it for everyone. So that's not happening. So I was that close.
Oh.
But because of some guy.
Some beer geek.
Did not happen. But yeah, those are the two beers. if I had to pick, that I would be looking out for.
What's the other one? What is it? I've never heard of it. I've heard of Yellow Bus.
And it escapes me. Isabel Proximus is another sour, but it's a collaboration with someone. And rumor has it they're remaking it in 2017.
I saw Duck Goose is coming out soon.
Duck Goose is going on sale.
If you can get on the internet.
If you can go out on the internet, Duck Goose is going on sale Friday at noon. $41 a bottle, 6-bottle limit.
$41?
$41 a bottle, 6-bottle limit.
Oh, I thought you said 60.
Six.
That seems like a high limit.
Six?
$41, yeah. Doesn't it? I mean,
some people spend more money on worse things.
No, but
I mean, well, like, what's crazy is if you go on the
two or three bottle of it.
I'm not a fan of this at all, but there are people on. There's a beer trade website.
You're not a fan of beer trending bags, really?
No, I'm not. I'm not a fan of beer selling.
Okay.
So right now, 6 bottles of Duck Duck Goose on the beer selling site is going for $600.
6 bottles?
6 bottles, $600.
Who would want to buy
plus
6 bottles?
Paying for your shipping plus a thank you box.
What's a thank you box?
You send a bunch, them your back.
Like a bunch of probably like Treehouse. Or Trillium. Or cool, rare beer plus $600 because people are fucking stupid.
Damn. Whoa. That's fucking ridiculous.
So I don't believe in reselling beer. It's kind of against what I'm for. Like, I'm all about trading because I believe, like, I can send badass Libertine bottles to the East Coast for Treehouse or Trillium, mm-hmm. which are great beers that I can't get. Or to Oregon for Double Mountain, which I can't get, yes, but make
Double
great.
Double Mountain.
That's fucking Mikey Jam.
Like, they're just about to open, looking out for it. They're going to open up a tap room in Portland area. You're going to have to drive out to Hood else. River. Yeah, well, I'm just saying. But yeah.
But yeah, so I'm a big fan of the beer trading. I don't believe in beer selling.
I don't disagree with that at all. Because I don't do either, but one. Sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
as listeners know, we receive beer. We don't send out too much beer.
No, Mikey does not send out beer at all. So I had this beer in the fridge,
I'll save beers. I'm like, I'm going to send that out. And then it's a month later, I'm like, wow, that's getting pretty old. I'm just going to drink it.
Broken skull.
Yep. That happens. That happens. Cheers. You guys have any cheers to give out before we leave the show? The brothers, Napolitano?
The cheers to the fellows being on the show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Thank you,
Tyler and
us.
Tony Bags finally being on the show.
Yeah, almost fought each other.
Yeah. I love Tyler to death.
It was good.
Again, it's big brother, little brother.
We're here. We're healing. We're good. We're getting good.
I love that Greeno.
Took us 2.5 hours, but we're back. We're back. Back to besties.
I feel like I have so much more to say.
I know, right?
Yeah, we'll have you back, Tyler. Don't right. you?
Not
don't
so
we're just gonna leave the mics on, and we'll see you in the morning.
Yeah. Let's send you the voicemail. Yeah. Number so you can just
yeah I want to know how to call and just yell and shit, get all angry.
Yeah, if you get angry, just leave a voicemail.
Yeah,
don't call your ex-girlfriend, leave us a voicemail. Yeah. That's what we're here for.
That number, man.
Yeah.
So I kind of know this, but I mean, basically you can get Libertine on the Central Coast and you can get it in Fresno a little bit. Is there any other place you can get Libertine beer?
Yeah, I mean, we're distributed all over California. Mainly, we have a membership club called the Wild Registry that kind of gets the more elusive kind of stuff. They got kind of first dibs. We're actually launching we're calling it the Libertine Bottle Club, which is kind of a subsidiary of that. So it's more of a, instead of paying the X amount of dollars once a year, you get 12 bottles, a shirt, growler, all the different things, and the big percentage off. It's more of like a wine club where you get 4 bottles every quarter. That starts in October. What are we? July. So August. So it starts in August. We're actually going to launch that. But since we don't have huge distribution, our big thing is trying to like get it to customers, get it to people that want it. You know, I hate sending to a store and then it sits on a shelf and it dies. You know what I mean? And that's why our big thing is really trying to promote our website and doing things like that. But we're all over the state. Bottlecraft in San Diego has been is it Bottlecraft?
Yeah, Bottlecraft has your bottles.
They have a bunch of our bottles. They've been great supporters.
Well, San Diego listeners, there you go.
Yeah. Whole Foods, most of Northern California Whole Foods now have our stuff.
Oh, okay. I didn't know it was that wide.
In the Bay Area has been a great supporters of us, specifically like City Beer almost always has something from us. It's been doing really do good. And the Trappist is another one up there. And Bottle and Pint always seems to have something down in, Thousand Oaks? I guess that's the area.
Yes, Thousand Oaks.
And then just locally, you know, our tap room in St. Louis and Morro Bay is our pub, and that's kind of where the majority of our sales are through. But yeah, if you go on our website, you can order directly. We have a web store right there. We're actually redoing it right now, and we're not really that far. I mean, it seems like all of California is huge, but we're in like very, very limited kind of. Mm-hmm. If it's a red spot.
Lupolo.
Lupolo, Santa Cruz, big sports. And Beer 30, both in Santa Cruz.
So I've been to Beer 30.
They're cool awesome. Place. Olive's rad. And they try to keep our stuff on. And Lupolo, we just did our house band that's, I hate to even call them our house band because they're like, it's like calling the Rolling Stones your house band. These guys are like amazing, the Turkey Buzzards.
The Turkey Buzzards?
The Turkey Buzzards. So, it's a two-piece, sometimes a three-piece, but outlaw country, stand-up bass, acoustic. Sometimes they have a slide and a mandolin player, but all original rad stuff. We actually did a collaboration with them about a year ago where we brewed the beer, and as we were racking into our open-top cool ship, they recorded a whole album. So they serenaded the beer as it was racking into the cool ship. And then we press that into a 7-inch vinyl record that when you buy a bottle of the Turkey Buzzer collab, you get that 7-inch vinyl record.
Damn it.
Nick. Nick is looking out for that.
You, in the background, you can like hear the beer like, you know, like cascading.
How do I need that right now?
Can
Nick get that?
We're packaging it now. We're shooting for pre-sale? Early September release for members. So.
Oh, gotta be a member, bro.
All right.
Join our club. real limited number. We love working with people, having fun. We did. Probably 40% of the beers they make are collaborations, just because, and not just brewers. I mean, we work with brewers, but it's a lot of it's just fruit purveyors or farmers or winemakers or
asshole friends,
asshole friends, or you know, people that make rad music. I mean, we love working with people.
You're not stealing Paul from us. Don't even try it.
Paul Fairfax is ours.
You want to write a song?
No, actually Paul's looking for a new place, so maybe
we're trying to talk about it.
Come on down to the pub,
yeah,
play some tunes.
All right, well guys, brothers,
cheers.
Cheers.
Are you guys brothers?
Maybe.
It's all coming together.
Not twins though.
No, not twins.
All right, well thank you guys.
Is that a joke? Are you
this
actually
has been
twins?
This so has confused. Been a damn notable show. And thank you for coming here. Thank you for braving the heat.
Cheers.
And it hanging actually feels out.
Good I'm saying, right it now. Feels awesome right
yeah.
now.
Finally, I'm like, I've evened
it's
out.
Middle of the know? Night. So we're this is when Fresno kicks ass. In the
sorry
summer.
For like throwing a fit on bags and about corporate Beer America.
It was a good discussion. I enjoyed it.
Love you.
And cheers to everybody that listens. Cheers to our golden gods. And thank you for the support for Core. Have a safe week drinking craft beer. We'll be back next week to talk about that.
Yeah, we're to come is. Back to...
Yeah,
heard that before.
Yeah.